I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago, 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman, Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandeville. Steve Grzanich, I apologize, I was talking over you in the crosstalk because my headphones weren't working. And then Ben came in, the engineer, and he's like, Steve was trying to talk, and I just didn't hear you. So I apologize for that. That's just I don't want to come off rude, like I'm like, Steve, don't talk. I've got to get this.
Well, plus you don't have sunglasses.
Yeah, I have my sunglasses. I'm disoriented,
so,
Dave.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, Chicago. Thanks for listening to 720 WGN. We got a great show lined up today. Whether you're coming in, you're commuting, going home, maybe you got the day off, maybe it's summer vacation time, or maybe you're doing what most of our listeners do, getting a cup of coffee and jumping back into bed. We found that out last week. That's what people are doing when they decide to listen to the Cochran Show.
Or hit the snooze button.
Yeah, right. I have in my mind the Formica kitchen table, you know, going in and getting ready, and they got the coffee cup, and they're listening intently. Yeah. But as Dave explained, no, it's probably getting a cup of coffee, hitting the snooze button, and listening
never.
On the app
oh,
in
no.
bed.
Oh, no.
No snooze.
Yes, getting back in bed, but never hit the snooze button.
Never.
That's my
never.
Law.
Exactly. You know what, Dave?
I never hit the snooze button. I leap out of bed.
You guys have both given me great advice on how to deal with the mornings.
That's what you got
to
do.
And I have taken that advice to heart, Dave. Dave told me on the first week we were doing this, Dave said, get from the bed to the bathroom. Get up.
Yes.
That's the key.
Just
if you
get to the shower,
bed,
get
trouble.
To the shower.
Get to the shower. And that's how I, that's the ethos. That's the philosophy in
yeah,
the morning.
You can't do anything else. My husband actually wished me have a good show today as I was heading from bed
wow.
to bathroom. So that he doesn't usually hear my alarm, but he must have
today
heard
Today he
it.
Did. Yeah. That's great.
So the bathroom is a key for you?
Getting, if I can get from the bed to the shower, it doesn't matter if I've had 2 hours of sleep, that's all I need to do.
See, I do the shower the night before. So that's doesn't help.
That's what I do, Steve.
You know, yeah. But it wakes you up.
Yeah, I'm
gets
a wake
you,
up guy.
Gets
I'm a
you
wake
alert.
Up shower guy.
I don't know about you, Mary, but I have a guy I hired to just slap me in the face. Just get up, go to the bathroom. I mean, stand in the bathroom right in the mirror, and he just hits me right in the face.
Always
yeah,
good.
That works.
Don't judge me. It's my system.
Is it a benefits package for this guy?
It is.
Of course, I think his name is Maureen.
yeah, no. She doesn't hit as much as she used to. All right, you want to do the top six?
Let's do it.
Raise your hand. Let's do it now.
To get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
At any point today, if I say the words, or anybody on the show says the words would or wouldn't, be the seventh caller, and you'll win the Trump game. If I say would or wouldn't, if anybody on the show says would or wouldn't on the air in any story, any conversation, we might not even notice when we say it.
Right.
Be the seventh caller. Those are your secret Trump words today. Would or wouldn't. Either one will be a big winner for you.
I would like to not apologize about all my double negatives.
That makes as much yeah. sense as what I heard yesterday. Blistered by condemnation of his big hug for his longtime enemy, or our longtime enemy, his pal, President Trump backed away from his public undermining of American intelligence agencies and his big hug for Vladimir Putin, saying, slip of the tongue. Slip of the tongue. Did I say would? I meant wouldn't. That fixes it, right? If I say wouldn't instead of would?
Not if you go back and listen to the whole news conference.
Doesn't change a thing.
No.
Or the subsequent interviews he did after the fact, doubling down on what he said in the press conference.
In the 24, 26, 28 hours where he could have corrected it, right. including his own Twitter account, but he didn't.
It's insulting to the intelligence of the American citizen that he can just blow it off as a double negative.
Now, that's my question. Do they all just think we're stupid? Is that it?
Well, he does.
Is that just... Okay.
Yeah, no, he does. He's hoping. He's hoping there's enough stupid out there to keep him in office for a while longer. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia instead of why it would. Frankly, it's a waste of time to even break this nonsense down. Yeah. He's lying. Next, mayoral candidate with the highest average contribution. It's not Rahm Emanuel. Dave, I'll give you Justin's car if you can tell me who it is.
Yeah, take it.
Think of all the candidates. There's 35 or 40 of them who has the highest individual average contribution. That's right, Davis. Willie Wilson.
I was going to give
Willie Wilson,
City Royals
the former Cub?
Willie Wilson. Willie Wilson largely former is self-funding Cub. His second bid for mayor, and he blew the state contributions in the and limits in the race in April away. He loaned his campaign $100,000. All told, he's raised a total of $296,576, $281,000 of it coming in a series of contributions to his own campaign.
Yeah.
In other words, he's raised $15,000. $576 from everyone not named Willie Wilson.
Yeah. It's a bummer he does that because he has to self-finance his campaign and he breaks the cap. Meaning if nobody breaks the cap, then all the candidates stay under, and that is an advantage for all the candidates who don't have money. But he breaks the cap, so then the incumbent breaks the cap, and then we get into a million-dollar spending spree.
And you think he? Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, and this is, and compared to Rahm Emanuel, who has what, $8 billion in his account?
Yeah,
something. Like that. Yes, it's $8 billion roughly. So, what Justin, what you're saying is, you wish he wouldn't do that.
I wish he wouldn't do that because then it would put the impetus on the mayor to do it. And if the mayor does it, then it's a different story. To be like, look, the mayor is using his clout and his money and his finance, but instead, Willie Wilson steps up and does it, and the mayor has cover.
Apparently, the audience doesn't quite understand the Trump game yet.
Yeah, would or
wouldn't. Would or wouldn't. Be the seventh caller. Would or wouldn't be the seventh caller. Think I'm kidding? This is the Trump game. You
sorry,
can win.
I apologize.
The European Union. What? The European Union signed its largest ever trade deal, a pact with Japan that will eliminate $1.2 billion in taxes that European companies pay per year. The EU going off and starting their own game, playing with their own toys because they don't like the way we're playing with ours. Next. Firefighter Juan Bucio's death ruled accidental, caused by asphyxia and a rare heart condition unknown until he passed. Sad, sad story. We've been wondering exactly what happened there. That appears to be the medical
cause. The mayor, when he was on last time he was on, you go look it up here on WGNradio.com, told a great story from his funeral about what the pastor or whoever did the sermon.
Talking about being an immigrant.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Look it up.
The mayor is quite emotional when he was discussing it as well. Next, anonymous no more, Phil Vitale is out as the guy quitting. He's the guy that's going to... He's going to, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go home and have people cook for him. Phil Vitale has decided to show his face, citing fairness to all restaurants for the first time in 30 years as he winds down his long career.
It's so much harder, I think, for critics today to do that, the idea of not showing your face. Jeff Ruby used to do it at the Chicago Magazine. I know Mike Sula at Chicago Reader. Phil Vitale has done it for years, but it's just changed in the way that now with social media and everything, you can't really protect it.
So I hope he stays.
Does this mean he goes into a restaurant now without a bag on his head? Is that it? Or?
How did he hide himself? Did he just...
He never shows his face on social media. He's a very avid social media user. I love him. He's great on Facebook and Twitter. Yep. But he never shows his face. And I believe they use different credit cards and things like that to mask their identity when they're at the restaurant to make sure that...
So he's got fake ID and fake cards.
Essentially.
Except the part where they say, now seating the Vitale party.
Yeah. That's what he's going to change now. He's going to walk in. It's going to be like Norm from Cheers. Phil!
I just don't know if they do that anymore. Like, do you need the restaurant review anymore? And restaurants have gone out of their way to try and avoid even giving the opportunity to review. So the world has changed. We should have him in here. We should talk about it because the world in that world.
Have him in here to tell him we're not paying attention to him. I like Phil. I do. Yeah. And but I can't say that I decide where I'm going to eat based on Phil. Yeah. No. And this, Cubs Yu Darvish wanted a 6-foot fence around his new lakefront mansion. Evanston turned him down, say you can have it as high as 4 feet. Dave, you're in Evanston a lot. Is 4 feet a good number?
I think 4 feet's a pretty good number. No, I'm not Yu Darvish.
Is 6 feet because he wants it high enough for anyone under 6 feet to not be able to heckle him for how he pitched?
That could be.
What is Darvish doing in Evanston? I thought all those guys went up to Lake Forest and more of the more traditional North Shore suburbs.
Well, maybe closer he wants less
to
of a commute.
Yeah, it's closer to Wrigley.
Slumming it in Evanston.
It looks, the aerial shots of the place.
They look nice.
I know the area. It's a $4.5 million home right on the lakefront.
The one thing they didn't say in there is what year they made the rule of the 4-foot fence, because people have been getting taller over the years. So maybe that should be adjusted to 6 feet.
That could be like a 19th
based on
century.
Human height.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be like Wilson, the next
right,
door neighbor.
Right. Just like doorways, you know, like used to be shorter. If you go down to Galena and look at one of
just like Evanston used to be dry. Like at a certain point, they have to upgrade their rules.
Coming up, a major, major mystery. A staff member on the show could be under extreme pressure and threats from an unknown source involving vegetables. What? We'll come back and explain that to you. But I have a question before we break. And Steve, you chime in on this as well. Mary, you are the only other grandparent on this show, you and I. Abigail stayed over last night. And the minute she walks in the room, everybody is just gaga nuts for her. And what age does that end? I mean, I don't think it's going to end for her, but at what age does it go from everybody's thrilled to see you to, oh, hi.
Teenage years.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Because my twin nieces just turned 7, and that still happens. I went up for Christmas last year, and my family didn't even know I was there.
Well, twins always are going to have an extra impact, though.
Yeah, but this is...
But a 5-year-old's going to get that kind of attention.
Oh,
does
a
10-year-old get that attention?
Yes, a 10-year-old does. I think that 14, and the eye rolling has set in.
So are we going to split the difference, make it 12?
I'm going earlier than 14.
So make it 12. 12 years old, it's over for you.
With girls.
12 years old, you're all done, except for the aunt that awkwardly wants to kiss you on the mouth whenever you see her every 6 months, and it's always weird.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Todd from Lansing. Won the Trump game all morning long, if any of us say would or wouldn't be the 7th caller. And that one didn't count, the one I just did there. So if I say would or wouldn't, this one doesn't count either. Be the 7th caller, and you will be a big winner. A quick all-star game moment or two from last night, Dave. A lot of home runs.
I think it's got to be Twitter. Social
a lot of,
media,
lot of home runs. 10 home runs hit, most ever.
I was momentarily charmed by the fact that players were wearing microphones, but then it got old.
It did it?
Yeah.
I switched away. But
I thought it's good with Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, and then it just sort of...
The Indian shortstop. What's the kid's name?
Francisco
Lindor's funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
He's but after that, they had the disinterested dude with the beard and a couple other people.
Yeah, it sort of went downhill after that.
There was a fight on our couch. Pat wanted to watch the All-Star game because he kind of has to for his job, and Patrick was wanting America's Got Talent.
Don't you guys have 47 TVs?
We do, but they like to both sit on the couch. So they were recording and going
between. Another couch.
Yeah, everyone likes the main.
We got a room here with 4 couches. I don't understand what the room is even for. There's a conference room here that has like 4 couches. I don't know if a therapist is like renting space.
That's Club 720.
Oh, that's the club.
Yes.
Okay, let's take one of those couches home.
Okay.
Yeah. Yay. Tom from Lansing gets pavilion tickets at Ravinia Thursday, August 2nd to see Raiders of the Lost Ark with music provided live by the CSO. How about that?
That's a cool idea, yeah.
Dean Richards will lead a discussion before the concert. A discussion? Get tickets at Ravinia.org, and we're back with the headlines next. Construction workers texting in, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, this morning, saying, please remind people to slow down in work zones. There's been a couple that were almost hit, apparently, this morning already.
Oh, boy.
I don't care what you have to do. I don't care how late you are. I don't care how busy and how important you think your life is. It's not more important than the people that are working. And it's not the $500 fine you're going to get whacked with. It's the fact that you could hit somebody. It's a work zone.
Yes.
Slow down.
Especially, and it is tough to see in the sun, but, you know, they are out there, especially coming in the Eisenhower.
Slow down even more then.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Garrett Conti joins us. Let's talk about the law. Are you just home?
Been home for a little bit. Been home for about 5-6 days.
What was the latest world traveling place that you went to?
We went to Copenhagen, Denmark, Berlin, Germany, Helsinki, Finland.
Copenhagen or Copenhagen?
I guess it's Copenhagen. I say Copenhagen.
It's Haagen-Dazs, so therefore it's Copenhagen.
Hagen. That's probably right. Stockholm and then St. Petersburg, Russia.
Wow.
So it was a whirlwind of Baltic Sea countries, and it was just fabulous.
When you went to St. Petersburg, did you know you were being bugged?
I was colluding the whole time I was there.
You look colluded. You look collusive. Yeah, that's it. That's the word. all right. And what was your favorite of all of those places?
Oh, I'd say that St. Petersburg was the most interesting because it has such an interesting history. But as far as just great cities, Stockholm, Sweden, beautiful city. It's a group of islands. It's very clean. It's very environmentally conscientious. It's just a beautiful city.
There is a disturbing legal story to jump here. Actually, they're all troubling on some level, and a big local story, too, but I want to get to this first. The MGM Corporation is suing the mass shooting victims in Las Vegas from last summer in hopes of limiting liability and not even the company put out of business. Explain to me what's going on here.
Well, basically, we have all these people who are injured or families of the people who died in this tragedy, and they've been suing. And there's a law that was passed in about 2002 that says that if a company complies with certain anti-terrorism technology, basically setting themselves up to prevent terrorism, then they are immune from liability. And MGM is saying, listen, we adopted all of that technology, and therefore we're immune under this law from any lawsuits. And instead of defending all these hundreds and maybe thousands of lawsuits all over, we want to have a declaration by a court that we complied with this anti-terrorism technology and therefore stop all the lawsuits from coming.
Okay, help me with the headline first, though. Why does that mean they have to sue the people who were victimized here?
Because when you have a declaratory judgment, this is what we call a declaratory judgment, and we want a declaration that we complied, you have to name all of the people and all of the potential people who might be affected by this, because they have a right to come in and argue against that and say, listen, no, you didn't comply with the technology, or maybe it doesn't apply to you because this wasn't a terrorist, this was a lone gunman. So they have a right to defend, if you will, their right to pursue these lawsuits. So it sounds offensive to sue victims of a crime, but technically that is probably the correct thing for them to do.
But I don't understand. I thought you had to show damages to sue somebody. You can sue and show potential damages?
Yeah, it's a little twist here. It's a declaratory judgment, which means that you want to preemptively have a declaration that the law is the way you want it to be. So, for instance, if you had, this is a typical case where you have an insurance claim, and you say the flooding caused this damage, and the insurance company is not paying, you go to court and you want a declaration that the insurance company has a duty to pay it. And the judge will look at the policy and they'll look at the facts and will make a declaration of prospective what should happen here. And that's what this is.
I have no interest in having MGM go out of business and their victims here too, but it just seems exceptionally
cruel.
The optics
are terrible.
In the process of doing this. All right, item number two, the Jason Van Dyke trial's been set.
Yes, I think it's September 5th coming right up, and it's going to cause just a bunch of problems because I see that the protesters are going to be protesting near the courthouse, and that's going to affect the jury pool. It's going to be very difficult to have a fair trial here anyway because of the mass publicity and all of the heat that's going on. And so it's just going to be a very interesting thing to see whether or not we can get a fair jury here.
Won't they go for a change of venue?
They already did that. And I really did think that there might be a change of venue in this case, or at least bring in jurors from another county. But so far that I see, it's not going to happen. And the judge has denied those motions, and it's going to go forward in Cook County.
Could you go to another state? Could you do that, or do you have to stay in state or county?
It's usually in state, and they have all different ways of doing it. You can actually have it in another county, or as in the case of Gacy, they brought in jurors from some other jurisdiction, and they bust them in to hear the case.
Karen, when we talk about the defense for Jason Van Dyke, some of the strategies trying to get to the bottom of what they're doing, there seems to be a strategy to try to delay, to push it back, There's two trials that are going on. It's the three police officers and Jason Van Dyke. But it seems every time there is a news item that comes out, it's about the defense trying to get a continuation or to try and push the trial date back. Why are they do that? I mean, why not get to it? Is there a strategy in trying to push back the trial?
I can't say that I know one way or the other in this case that there's a strategy, but generally criminal defense lawyers do like delays, and witnesses forget things. Witnesses die. people forget the story. And I think in this case, it's such a heater case that the more time that is between when it happened and when the trial happens, people will forget some of these things, and maybe the heat is off a little bit. So,
and you wonder, you know, why there's lawyer jokes.
Well, you know, the criminal, you know, this guy, again, you know, I'm not making any judgments about anything, but if he's convicted, he will go to jail forever. And for a cop to go to jail is not a pleasant thing. This is a serious case for everybody, really.
Yeah, and Karen, it's interesting, too, because we've seen in the past, and we've seen this in other towns, too, with the rash of arrest for police officers involved in police shootings. Most of them, if not all, have been acquitted or charged with something lesser. You know, our justice system isn't really equipped, and it seems to be glaring in this case, to convict police officers. It's just that there's an intent issue about whether or not they were premeditated, and it's hard to prove that when everything happens in the blink of an eye.
Well, that's right, and I think that in some ways it's justified, because when you're out on the street, and Steve, I heard the show yesterday, you were talking to the FOP president, yep, about this other case that had the video that went out. You know, you make a split decision, a split second decision, and I think when jurors actually sit down and it gets explained that you are sitting there with, you know, a guy who's pulling something out of his pants, you know, you then realize that that's a very difficult decision to make, and if you only have a few seconds to make it, you know, you're going to err on the side of shooting. And you know, I think that it's hard to say, but you're right.
It's a very
difficult. Police officers rarely get charged, and they very rarely get convicted.
I got 30 seconds for you to answer a tough question. Robert Mueller looking for 5 potential witnesses to be protected with immunity in the Manafort trial. Is there an easy way to explain that?
Very common. He wants to call these people to the stand, and these people don't want to testify because they think that if they testify truthfully, they might convict them. They might implicate themselves. So basically, he's saying, I want to give them immunity so they can fully and freely testify, and I can get my conviction of Manafort. Very common.
What's the number at your office?
312-332-7800 or wgn@AskKarenConti.com.
And on the radio Sunday nights, when the White Sox or the Blackhawks don't play, Karen Conti's there. And on those nights when they do, just have her come by your house. thank you, Karen.
All right. Have a great day. Come on, little shop.
Imagine, if you will, you're minding your own business. You're not hurting anybody. And you show up at home and suddenly something very mysterious has happened. Special edition of Pete's World. Pete Zimmerman lives an exciting, on-the-edge life on a daily basis. And he told a story the other day, which, well, frankly, it's weird. And we want to get you help. This is a very large audience, and maybe other people have gone through this, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I think a fair summation is you are being threatened by vegetables.
Yeah, that is accurate.
So explain this.
So a few weeks ago, my wife and I came home from the gym in the morning. This is prior to
the switchover.
Mm-hmm. We noticed a couple of eggplants right in front of our house, kind of in that patchy area.
Is that normally where you might keep eggplants?
No.
Or is that not an eggplant
that
zone?
That is not an eggplant zone.
It's an eggplant-free zone.
Yeah.
And were these eggplants distinguished in any way?
They were distinguished. They had carvings in them, the letter A, but like, you know, like that kind of like the anarchy A, kind of like a A, but like the cross was,
yeah,
really long.
Well,
rigid.
What a serial killer might do.
It's a very exact carving. It's precise.
It's it's either anarchy or the Avengers. It's right in that area.
Right.
Did each eggplant have an A?
Each eggplant had that.
And how many eggplant?
Two.
Two. All right. So you go, wow, this is weird. I'm sure it'll never happen again. How long before the second eggplant incident?
I believe it was exactly 1 week. The
one
same
week.
Thing happened. We went to the gym, came home.
Same time of day?
Same time of day.
And there were how many eggplants then?
I think there was just one.
But all right, same, so carving,
same carving.
Same carving.
Same A?
Same A. All right, so
same
now,
spot.
Now it's weird.
Right. And when the first one happened, my wife was a little concerned. She's like, this is kind of weird, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess it is. We just kind of threw them out. We're like, whatever. And then when the second one we saw the second.
Someone sending a message.
Right. I was a little concerned. And
do you know your neighbors well?
We moved in like a year and a half ago, so we, yeah, sort of.
Do any of them seem like they're eggplant purveyors?
No. No, they wouldn't do. I don't think they would do this as a prank.
And if they had an issue with you, they would say it.
Right. Yeah.
So you went to, obviously you went online and you started looking around to find out about what the symbolism might be, but nothing.
Couldn't find anything. So
it's amazing if you Google leave an eggplant on my front door with an A on it that right. didn't come up.
We're furiously trying to figure this out.
Now, in any sort of circumstance where there's a growing amount of tension, the people causing the tension will leave sort of odd distances between the incidents. So you had a couple of weeks between the first eggplant drop and the second eggplant drop, and you figure, well, this has got to end. But no.
No. A couple of weeks later, same thing, same time. And we've been very vigilant about eyeing the area where the eggplant has appeared. So we're
understandable,
every time we leave the house, we look for the eggplant.
Have you checked the eggplant for prints?
No, we haven't.
So you're saying dust the eggplant?
Yes.
Dust the eggplant.
Dust the eggplant.
Well,
Do you rent or do you own the place?
We own the place.
Okay, so it's not like you can call a landlord and go keep an eye on the eggplant drops.
Yeah. We can't move right now.
And you haven't had packages stolen from your front step?
Usually the issue with people in their front step, right. Not eggplant, but yeah.
All right, so you've had how many eggplant in total?
I believe maybe six eggplant in
total. Could be six. All of them with a slashed A in each of the eggplant.
Yeah.
And it was thus ruining the eggplant, by the way, for good cooking.
Yeah, right. And it was last week. It was last week was the latest.
Yeah, last Friday, because I had mentioned it to you guys. And then
you told us a story and then tweeted us or texted us a picture saying, look, it happened on the way home.
Yeah.
So what are your theories?
Here?
What are your theories?
Justin?
It might be me. If this was a game show, I would.
I suggested it was some sort of guerrilla marketing.
Well, that would make sense, but there needs to be a payoff.
And it's
right?
not.
It needs to be like a coupon attached to it or something.
Exactly. And it's not. It's underneath the brush, so it's not like they're trying to put it out there like almost like a banner.
How do you know it's underneath the brush?
He showed the picture.
Oh, is that right?
I pay attention to my coworkers.
Have you been to the eggplant zone?
No, I haven't.
You seem to be quite familiar.
He only goes to Rose House, Justin.
Okay. Because it's kind of buried. It's not like up on this front step where it's immediately. You can see it immediately. We kind of go.
Your wife's got to be freaking out now.
Well, after the second time, she was kind of worried about it because I was working nights and she's home alone and she's like, we have to call the police. I'm like, call the police over this eggplant?
Just the idea that you're explaining to a desk cop in Chicago this story.
And I'm like, well, you know what? I got a thing. Can you handle the police call? Because I don't feel like doing this right now.
A couple of texters, 847. Is Steve Dahl or Brendan messing with Pete? Brendan's a guy that worked with Steve Dahl or works with Steve Dahl?
He's still there, yeah.
847. Is somebody from your gym who knows where you live?
Ooh, it could be someone you're beating because you and Molly are really competitive gym people.
Yeah, we are.
I hate that.
Have you had an altercation at the gym?
Well, Pete's at the top of the leaderboard. He goes to one of those gyms where you compete to be the best exerciser.
The Orange Theory.
Yeah.
And he's number one, so.
I'm a bit annoying in that, like, when there's, like, the medicine ball rack.
Yeah, sure.
And there's, like, 8, 10, and 12 pounds.
And you go for the 12.
They put them willy-nilly. Right. It's like, no, the 8s go here, the 10s go in the middle, the 12s go on the right.
Right.
You can't put a 12, like, on the bottom left.
Right. So I doubt that's the issue. I'm going to go out on a limb.
630 texter, scorned lover.
Yeah.
You do know that the eggplant symbolizes ... question mark. The eggplant symbolizes the male appendage.
That's the emoji part of this. Now, I told Julie last night, my wife, and I was like, she looked up and she did some stuff, and she sent me a website that was anonymous eggplant mail.
Yeah. What?
There's a place that you could send, but it's packaged and you write notes on it. Mm-hmm. It's a little
They'll
different.
They'll carve in a message onto the eggplant.
Oh, so it's like a gift or a prank.
It's a gag gift. Maybe it's low rent that?
Yeah, is this like the Marshalls of that website where you get them, they're slightly off?
Yeah. Imperfect Produce is very hot right now.
Yeah. It's like and you used to community garden and your old place. Mm-hmm. In your old neighborhood, you had plots where you shared. Did you ever get any incidents over that stuff?
There may have been some criticism of watering.
Okay, so someone who's mad about water.
But it's like, they don't know where we live.
What they I don't understand down, is Zillow. How many times are you going to get eggplant delivered before it's clear what the hell they want from you?
I think it's okay to call the police another time. Because, like, the first time, it was like my wife was talking to him, and you could hear the eye rolling through the phone. Like, okay, let me take this down and get this right to
the top. Yeah, and then they hold the phone away and go, hey, it's an eggplant guy.
So, I don't know. It's concerning. I'm a little concerned about this.
A15 says, buy a hunting trail camera. Pardon me, set it up so you can get a picture of whoever is setting the eggplant. There's a ton of cameras you could put outside. Do you have a GoPro?
No. We were thinking about putting a sign up to say, like, this area is being monitored for...
Eggplant. What if you put a sign up and said, this is an eggplant-free zone?
Yeah.
And they have two dogs that bark, and I think these dogs maybe are driving people crazy, and that's where
why the eggplant? Mary's Yeah. Why not giant block letters that say WTF, man?
Yeah. Oh, you can
or a note on the car.
Choose a different kind of produce, and you put a piece of produce there.
Oh, like a vegetable exchange.
Yes. Maybe
it's just like you put out a couple of slightly altered watermelon.
I'm going to do that.
Or some grated Parmesan cheese.
Yeah. Maybe somebody really likes your tomatoes, and they're hoping that this just forces an exchange.
I like the camera. This is awesome. Steve, this is surveillance.
Steve Rozanich, you've covered a lot of crime in this town. Mm-hmm. Does this ring any bells?
It doesn't ring any bells, but I'll tell you what, I'd be really nervous. The first thing I'd do is I'd put a camera up there, and I might even ask for an extra police patrol around the neighborhood, because this is a little...
But the important part of that sentence is ask the police.
Right.
You'd have to ask the police, and they would have to say yes. Yeah.
I think you go all Charles Bronson and start stopping frisking people on the street. And just anyone who's in front of your place, just
with a bulge, eggplant under their shirt kind of thing.
And in addition to the camera, I'd probably stake out the front porch every now and then. I just hide in the bushes and just watch the front porch.
Like sit out there like Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mary Vandeveld, your husband Steve sat out in the garage waiting to shoot at raccoons that were nearby.
Well, you know what? Skunks, he has one of those deer cameras up at our cottage.
Was it skunks or raccoons?
That was skunks.
Oh, skunks.
Yeah.
But so maybe you could hire Steve to come over and sit on your front step.
He's retired. He'll do it.
All right.
Yeah.
224, buy a watermelon and carve WTF into it and throw it at the first person that shows up at your door.
Eggplant Torino.
These are all good.
What if it's Doll? What if it's Doll who's finally annoyed that you two work for me? It's Doll dropping eggplant off.
I don't think he knows where I live.
Anarchy sign.
There, and this has been brought up before, too. There's a race element in the fact that I think the Italian word for eggplant is also a derogatory term for black people. And the question is there some sort of race that gets serious about it where the people are mad at you?
So you're turning Pete into a Klan member?
There's symbolism. There's symbolism here. There's the sex symbolism from the emoji, and there's also race symbolism on what the word eggplant means in other countries. Just trying. I'm spitballing.
How long have you been a closet racist? I'm just curious.
Or maybe I don't know. Maybe they have a problem with the Zimmerman clan.
847, I would be worried. I won't be worried until you get home one night and you find the head of an eggplant cut off in your bed. Good to know the listeners are having fun with your psychological terror. If you have any theories, 312-981-7200, even more helpful than the one we've already seen here. 312-981-7200, texters or phone calls. We'll come back with a new game involving children who are exploiting the kill time on the show. Stand by for that. But the news is next on 720 WGN.
That's just a silly message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So many prizes, so little time. We're giving away a truck. Chevy Silverado. Go to WGNradio.com and go ahead and register there at WGNradio.com/contest. Take you right to the registration page. For the 100th anniversary of Chevy trucks and the Chevy Silverado and the Centennial Blue. Also, the Trump game this morning, anytime any of us say would or wouldn't, be the seventh caller, and you'll win. We won't even know we do it at times.
Yeah, right.
We're just talking. Would or wouldn't, seventh caller is going to be a big winner off the prize list. We've got some Cantini Golf foursome to give away later, four passes to the Blackhawks convention coming up. But right now,
we're giving away the four pack on Friday.
On Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. Like you said, on Friday we're doing that?
Yes.
But right now, do we have a name for this game?
Which sixth grader said it?
Which sixth grader said it? Now, who on the show owns and operates their own sixth grader?
I have one.
Yeah. Justin has one, and then I have one as well.
So Miles and Patrick?
Dave used to have it. Yes,
I had a couple myself.
Miles and Patrick.
All right, so Miles and Patrick have been given phrases, statements.
No, well, these are their own phrases.
Yeah. Well, these are things they say.
Little clever statements. Yeah.
The kids say the darndest thing, 720 style.
So we need a caller who is, perceptive, who thinks they know the show.
This comes about because Mary and I both, we've talked about in production meetings, both of these kids are so interesting in what comes out of their mouth.
Yes.
And so we said it'd be fun to do a game show of who said what, Patrick or Miles.
312-981-7200.
And you're giving away the convention passes.
Oh, we're going to do that right here.
Yeah.
How many kids or contestants do we need? Just one?
Just one.
Just one. And they have to get, let's make it, they got to get 2 out of 3.
Yes.
You got to get 2 out of 3 to win the big prizes.
Ooh.
2 out of 3. 312-981-7200. Is Dennis our guy? We're going to go to Dennis on the phone right now. And good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
All right, Dennis.
All right, so take it from here. Will we hear a statement?
You are going to read the statement.
Do I have those right in front of me?
You do have those right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. The following statement was said by either Patrick or Miles. And you simply have to tell me, Dennis, was it Patrick, the son of Ms. Sandberg and... who's his dad again?
Pat Boyle.
Oh, yeah, Pat Boyle. NBC, Comcast, Sportsnet situation. Yeah, or Miles.
Or Miles.
Proud product of Justin Kaufman and your lovely wife.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the statement, Dennis. Are you ready?
Yes.
How do I know who Chaka Khan is?
It's a double negative there.
How do I know who Chaka Khan is?
No. It's Chaka Khan, but that's okay.
How do I not know? Oh, really? Mr. Smart Guy, have you met her?
I haven't, but I'm hoping to.
I've hung out with her. That would be a dream.
You've hung out with her?
Yes, I have.
And I
called her Chaka, and she said, yeah, and if anybody ever calls me Chaka, tell them they're wrong.
You're the proper. I didn't understand. Okay, got it.
Do we have a guess?
Is it Chaka or Chaka? All right, Dennis, is it Miles or Patrick?
I would say Patrick.
Oh, so close.
I love Chaka Khan.
How do you know who Chaka Khan is?
How do I not know who Chaka Khan is?
See, I dropped the knot. I dropped the knot.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Yeah, I dropped the knot. You know, it's the whole wood or wood.
We may get Chaka Khan. She's playing Pitchfork, and we were talking about it, and it was hilarious that he's like, Chaka Khan? I'm like, how do you know Chaka Khan? He's like,
see if you can get Chaka Khan when you're asking for Chaka. Dennis, you got to get these next two, buddy.
Okay.
Statement number two. Promise me, if I ever get my wisdom teeth pulled, you'll film me and we can send it to America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, I know this one. Is that Patrick or Miles?
It's going to be Patrick.
Ding, ding, ding.
Promise me if I get my wisdom teeth pulled, you'll film me and we can send it to AFV.
Yeah, like about Patrick's
He's
voice.
He's right.
It's that breathy urgency. Yes.
He's also a young entrepreneur. He's looking for the cash prize.
Yeah. He loves AFV.
Turn it into a career. Who doesn't? That's the greatest show.
So are you guys walking around mic'd all the time, just waiting for them to say something?
Yeah, they have reality shows. The Miles Show and the Patrick Show.
It's radio life.
So here's the deal. We have tens of dollars in prizes, but if you get this last one correct, you're going to win even more. Even more.
You're going to win the Blackhawks convention passes.
All right.
This may be my favorite statement I've seen in weeks. Statement number three. My teacher's on maternity league. Where's your teacher? My teacher's on maternity league. Is that Patrick or Miles?
I'd say Miles.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey, way to go. Oh, I have got to hear this.
My teacher's not going to be teaching next year. She's on maternity league.
Now, what sort of sport is that, actually?
I know, right?
Yes. Congratulations, dude. You've won
Dennis.
Of it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me see what I have here. You've always been a big fan of the Speedway, so you got a family pack of general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running, sycamorespeedway.com. You're a golfer, I know. I can tell by the tone of your voice. I have a gift certificate to the Golf Center of Des Plaines, golfcenterdesplaines.com. Don't forget to have that lighted 9-hole course. You sound like a guy that likes pizza.
I do.
I have pizza for you. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, loumalnati's.com. And because you got two of three correct, yes, you've actually won a family four-pack of passes. The 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention. That's next weekend at Hilton, Chicago, July 27th through the 29th, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Does he have to do any math, or is he already
did it already? He got two out of three.
Get your convention passes at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Nice job, Dennis. Where are you headed this morning?
Awesome. Thank you. I'm right at work right now.
And what's the job?
I'm an assistant manager at a paper company, Lewis Paper.
Hey, we could use some paper. We just had a phone call about this yesterday.
We need paper.
Yeah, this is like a real-life office.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Dennis, thank you. Hold on so we can get your pertinent information. Stand by.
That was as exciting as the home run derby. Dennis came from behind there. Like it was grim at the beginning, and then he just turned it on, Bryce Harper style.
Bryce Harper.
What channel is Maternity League on?
There probably is a show called Maternity League.
Probably
so. Coming up, your texts on how to help Pete, currently under assault from random vegetables.
And the MVPP.
Oh, the MVPP. And is there a chance we're going to be able to play this game again? Will the kids cooperate?
I think so.
All right, good. Join us again next time for Which Sixth Grader Said It? Sweeping America.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Would you like to go ahead and introduce today's MVPP?
I would love to. All right, so this is obviously, the music gives it away a little bit, but today the most valuable person on the planet for Wednesday, July 18th, 2018, Vincent Valenzuela. Vincent, of course, the Jeopardy contestant who gets to go back on the show because Jeopardy, in its longstanding history, has always been accurate, has always been buttoned up, but in this case, they had a typo in the answer.
They blew it.
And they blew it. Vincent Valenzuela from Wheaton, who is also works in Rolling Meadows, is getting a second chance at Jeopardy thanks to the typo.
Do we have what happened on the show? Play for me, Joe, if you would, a little bit of the show.
To law enforcement, KAs are known these potential accomplices the suspected bad guys hang out with. Vincent.
What are known? Oh, what are no...
Michelle O'Brien? What are known associates? The other four-letter word not acceptable.
Yeah, that's where he swore. Which
I feel like Alex. I feel like Alex was going to just go over and just wash Vincent's mouth out with soap. Ladies and gentlemen, the MVPP, the proud Wheatonite, it's Vincent Valenzuela. You potty mouth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Good.
I am anxiously waiting to go to work, sort of.
So here's the deal. The guy you lost to apparently won $36,000?
A lady, actually.
Oh, it was a lady. $36,000.
Yes. She's... Wait a minute. So, yeah, I think that's how much she's got after 3 days now. She was also the champion on Monday. I don't have cable, so I'm not really sure. I have to watch it on YouTube the day after.
So, well, maybe if you win a little money, you can get yourself cable. I feel like maybe she owes you some cash because the show screwed up.
I think the show was actually pretty fair about everything. I mean, it was an honest clerical error, and as soon as they realized what had happened, basically right after taping ended, they came up. They said, we saw the screen, we saw your answer, we realized why you changed your answer, and just to be fair, we have to invite you back. So,
are you... Were they disappointed
they
had to invite you back? Were they like snippy professors? Oh, I guess you get a retest.
Nah, the people that run the show they're really, really concerned about the contestants. I mean, they have people there at all times to make sure you're relaxed, you're comfortable. They were really gracious about it.
What do you mean by that? Like Alex Trebek gives you a shoulder massage? What do they do to keep you relaxed and comfortable?
Oh, man, if Alex Trebek gave me a shoulder massage, that'd be the best thing ever because I'm like the hugest fanboy. But
well, here's
they weren't snippy at all. They were just really positive about the whole thing, I guess.
By the way, all this is on the air. Now, Dave, your daughter.
I will try to control my potty mouth then.
Dave, your daughter won on Jeopardy.
Yes, she did.
How much
did she
win?
She won 10 grand. That was college Jeopardy. But what Vincent's saying is true because during breaks in the taping, they'll go and they have producers who will go out and correct me if I'm wrong, Vince. I assume they did this with you. They'll kind of, if somebody's struggling, they'll give them a little pep talk during a break.
Like a locker room talk?
Well, I mean, it's at least they did with the college Jeopardy. I don't know if they do it every day.
Did you get a pep talk, Vincent?
Yeah, pretty much. They came out. They made sure we were okay. We needed water. Were we nervous? If anyone was being a little bit too stiff, they encourage them to be a little more animated and look like they're having a good time. So.
Yeah, sure. Producers doing their jobs. After you said the S word, what did Alex say to you?
Something along the lines of that is not the known four-letter word we're looking for.
I heard that part on the show. What did he say to you off the air?
Honestly, I was so stressed out and everything's such a blur that I can't remember.
Vincent, are you worried going back in? Because obviously you taped this in March. They aired it just recently. Are you worried that that Alex will give you beef, that you're back?
I'm not really worried about it. I kind of hope he remembers. He's seen thousands of contestants. It would be nice to be one of the ones that stuck out.
Here's a question that came up for you. This slang term for an environmentalist is literally true of groups that use passive resistance versus deforestation, as in India in 1973. Oh, who doesn't know that?
apparently I didn't that day.
Well, we're excited for you to go back next week and tape. It's July 23rd, right? That's next Thursday?
Next Monday, actually.
Oh, it's Monday.
It's Monday.
Well, would you remind me to get a calendar?
I will.
It's Monday,
proud, buddy.
I hope it's Monday. That's because I'm flying out on Sunday.
Well, we're excited for you, and you might not know this, but Dave told me Alex Trebek likes a big hug right before the show and a reach around and a little goose.
Well, I'll give him at least the first one, maybe.
Well, everybody in Wheaton's going to be watching, so we're going to watch too. Get out there and win some money.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, hold on. We got stuff for you, and you don't have to yell at us or curse. That's Vincent cursing Valenzuela, the most valuable person on the planet.
So it was the read. Trebek read it wrong. Mm-hmm. And so everyone said tree hugger on that answer, and he put Carl Sagan. Which is very interesting. I don't know what he, but they realized they made the mistake in the way that Alex read it. It wasn't necessarily a typo in the fact that of how the question was phrased.
This is why I'm never going to be on Jeopardy. The answer is the slang term for an environmentalist is literally true of groups that use passive resistance versus deforestation, as in India in 1973. I would have dozed off at environmentalist. congratulations, Vincent. Thanks for being the most valuable person on the planet. We got to get to these texts for people and their eggplants. Wait till you hear this if you missed it last hour. That's coming up as well. 312-981-7200. And every time somebody says would or wouldn't on this show, win the Trump game by being the seventh caller. Who knows what he means? Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Elise Glink joining us. Elise is sponsored by Grandview Homes. I don't know why, Elise, I've missed you. How long has it been? It's been weeks, hasn't it?
It's been way too long, however long it's been.
Come here, give me a hug, get over here. Welcome back to the program. Are there interest rates and inflation and horrible financial things we should know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, he took over from Janet Yellen. He said yesterday that he sees the U.S. on track for years of growth, steady growth, in his words. But there is some concern that inflation is coming up. He's not concerned because inflation is about a little under 3% right now. So it's somewhere in the target range of 1.5% to, 2.5%. It's just slightly above that. And he thinks that's perfectly normal. A lot of people think that that's where the Fed should be on inflation. But the key thing for people to realize is that any gains that you've had from the tax cut that we've talked so much about, or from wage inflation, right? Your wages may have gone up a little bit last year. When you have inflation of prices, that gets eaten up. And so you might not feel like you're getting ahead.
And when you're not getting ahead, it might take you long enough to catch up that you're not getting ahead, but you've run the numbers.
Well, it's interesting. So for years, and I mean decades, the median income in America pretty much stayed at about between $52,000 to $54,000 a year. And even with whatever kind of modest inflation we had, that it really didn't move. And so middle America, because that's the median income, middle America was pretty much stuck. And so over the last couple of years, we've seen that income climb a little bit. But when inflation also climbs, making it more expensive to buy everything from gas, prices of which are pretty high right now, above $3 in Chicago, to apples on the street, You don't feel like you're really getting ahead. And I think that's going to be a problem for people.
And inflation is folded into this in all forms?
Well, I think that inflation is interesting. There's another thing. Let's talk about interest rates. So interest rates have been pretty much above 4% for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage for a while. There was a study that came out this week that said that roughly 8 million millennial Americans are not homeowners right now. They should be, but they're not, and there's some profound... We can talk about that in a couple of weeks if you want, but part of that is rising interest rates. So when interest rates go up, it obviously costs everybody, you know, more to do things, right? Whether it's your credit card interest rate that's going up or the mortgage that you pay because you have an adjustable rate loan, it affects a lot of different things. Student loan debt is going to get a lot more expensive this year. But what's interesting is when inflation and rises and interest rates, long-term interest rates fall below the short-term interest rate, right? This is an inverted yield curve. And where we are right now is a place that I didn't actually think we would be getting to quite so soon, which is that we're almost seeing what's known as an inverted yield curve. So should I explain that?
Yeah,
you guys all remember from the last time 10 years ago.
You should explain it because literally you're the only one that knows what that is. All right, go ahead.
You're perplexed. Go ahead.
All right, so long-term interest rates, like mortgages, have a lower yield, as it's called, than short-term interest rates. So you end up with something where if you look at lines on a graph, it crosses in the wrong way. So long-term interest rates are normally higher than short-term interest rates. The federal funds rate, which is the rate that banks lend each other, governed by the Fed, we see that creeping up. That's when Jerome Powell talks about how he's going to raise interest rates a few more times this year. That's what he's talking about, the federal funds rate. So as that rate goes up and long-term interest rates, like a 10-year rate or the mortgage rates, kind of stay where they are or go down or they don't go up as fast, those two lines on the graph, they cross. And that is considered to be the number one harbinger of a recession.
Well, that and the fact that Warren Buffett and everybody that looks like Warren Buffett with a problem of not being able to find a wallet that's big enough say, get ready, it's coming. And there's a lot of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies that have agreed to be public, at least non-anonymous, and to the fact that they're selling stock. Can they create this kind of thing with this fear?
I don't think they can create it, but I think some people are already calling it out. So we've seen I was kind of surprised. Even the Wall Street Journal has been starting to talk about this.
Right.
About how 2020 could be a huge recession, and the tariffs, which we've talked a lot about in the show, the tariffs are kind of a big part of that, right? Because they can depress economic growth. There's a story actually in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how in South Carolina, right, very red state, in South Carolina, the government, federal government, is thinking about stopping work on a plant that would actually... It's an abandoned nuclear. They're thinking about abandoning this nuclear project. It's a construction. It's a partial. It's like a plutonium disposal facility.
Yeah, like the one I have at my house.
Yeah, I have one too. Mm-hmm. And so they're building one there. 1,800 people are employed building it, and the government's spending a little over $1 million a day to build it. And now the federal government's thinking about leaving it half built in South Carolina to do something else with the money. And that kind of thing really worries people. When you're not going to finish building something like a plutonium disposal facility, because, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And so when that happens in red states with a red government and a red president, meaning Republican, that's interesting. And that's a harbinger that other people on Wall Street look at and go, that might be recessionary.
Yeah, I got to tell you, recession in 2020 is not good for me, so we're going to need to move that date.
Okay. Yeah, sooner or later?
Well, I mean,
what works for you?
I think kick it back. I think definitely kick it back. That's got to be the way to go.
All right. I'll do what I can.
How's your summer? You okay?
Summer's great. We are having a spate of beautiful weather, so I go out biking at night and, just walk around. It's lovely. How about you?
We normally put playing cards in our bike spokes. You put hundreds, right? You just put $100 bills in there?
Thousands.
Click,
thousands.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
All right, next time you're on, what term will you explain to us then?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to go to Motley Fool and pick something randomly for you.
All right. That's my inflation interest rate friend, Elise Glink. Thank you, Elise. And by the way, if we want to go to thinkglink.com, can't we learn everything there?
Yes, completely. You never need to go anywhere else.
The total knowledge of the universe at thinkglink.com. And again, it's sponsored by Grandview Homes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Got a new
girlfriend. I'm going to give you an update on the eggplant controversy. It's Eggplant Gate, really, is what it is. And Pete Zimmerman's rejoined us. Pete is one of the producers on the program, and Pete and his wife Molly have been under threat of eggplant for the past 6 or 8 weeks. Yep. On three separate occasions, eggplants have been left on your front door or near it with a A slashed into the eggplants.
Yes.
We're trying to figure out what the hidden message is.
An actual anarchy sign, not just an A.
Yeah. Right. What you said. 815, get a deer camera. It's motion activated. 773, put a camera out there. 312, have you thought maybe it's a big cat dragging it there? Do you have, like, cougars
or
coyotes?
Yeah, do you think at all that it might be animals that are stealing it and bringing it over and thinking that's their squirrel area or whatever?
No.
Too big?
Well, do they have carving skills?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, depending on the cat.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Buy a 224, buy a watermelon, carve WTF into it, have some fun. 847, I'd be freaked out about this. There's too many weirdos out there. Bring them all to the police. You know,
that's what he's done, right?
But this the police.
There's an important point. When you have an eggplant circumstance, bring the eggplant to your near a Chicago police department.
Right.
Samrick showed me a picture of this. It's weird.
Yeah. I should have brought it in for Kevin Graham, the FOP president, yesterday. Right, showed him to see what he thought.
He would have comment on that.
Yeah. 847, who lived in your house before you, the guy who used to live in my house, ended up in jail. And we used to have some very unscrupulous people knock on our door the first 2 years we lived in the house. We got an alarm system. Is there an eggplant alarm?
I don't know. I guess you could come up with one, right?
Any vegetables of any kind that are brought near your front door, an alarm goes off.
That's a problem because his wife's a vegetarian. So
847's got it. This is what I think. Off. I think 847's got it. It's clear that Pete parks his car like a D.
No.
And
that is not true at all.
In front of your neighbor's house, so this is their way to be creative, to tell you to stop parking like a D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, and we do not. We are very cognizant of parking in our
area. Well, what about this helpful texter from the 630? Is it possible one of your neighbors are swingers and this is an invite? And, you know, by the way, I'm not surprised from the 630. I have heard that the 630 Western Suburbs area code is one of the top swingers locations in the country.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, I've never been invited, and I've been in the 630. And I'd still take anything else with me. I don't want to go. I just want to be invited.
Want to be invited.
Yeah.
Well, keep these eggplant mystery conspiracy theories coming, right?
Yeah. Last one, 708. Are you sure it's an eggplant? Could be an alien seed pod from the planet Alpha. Watch out for the zombie stare from your wife.
Okay, nerd.
Stand by. More eggplant texts are welcome at 312-981-7200.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than when I should. Yeah.
It's Dean Richards time. Before I get to Dean, though, I had something happen last night that I think most people can identify with. I have this voice-activated smoke and CO2 alarm. And in the middle of the night, it started talking.
Ugh.
And that's a little
scary.
Disconcerting.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You come out of your sleep and you hear like this spooky female voice in the hallway.
The door is ajar.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, the battery was starting to run out, so the whole thing had to be taken down, and the battery had to be removed. And you'd be amazed how hard it is to figure out how to get two AA batteries out of a smoke detector 4 minutes after you woke up. That's the kind of test I wouldn't pass.
Yeah, right.
So
that's where I rip it out of the wall and deal with it in the morning.
Yeah, just rip it out, throw it down.
I've done that a couple of times. I'm like,
but you
oops.
Have to get the battery out to make it stop beeping.
Yeah, right.
Because at our house that has happened, and my husband passes me the item to take it out because he can never get the little door open.
Yeah,
the
right.
Thing.
The woman actually heckled me at one point and goes, can't get a battery out? What kind of a man are you?
It really is like torture. It really is when it's just beeping like that.
But why at 1 o'clock in the morning? Why couldn't it happen at 5 in the afternoon?
But don't you have people to do that for you?
The guy that slaps me in the morning when I wake up. Yeah, no, he was sleeping. Dean, good morning.
Good morning with your little problems there.
Wow. That was a tad dismissive, wasn't it?
Wow. You should hear the eggplant problems we've had this morning.
If Dean says would or wouldn't, you could win the Trump game as well. Remember, anytime anybody says would or wouldn't, seventh caller is a big winner. We Pete Zimmerman, the great Pete Zimmerman.
I do.
Pete has people leaving eggplants with A's carved in them on his front step. He's had it three different times now, three separate incidents. And we're just wondering if it's you.
It's a mystery.
If it's me doing it.
Well, we don't know why people would do it. Why would you leave, you're a food guy, why would you leave expensive eggplants carved with A's in them?
I would. It wouldn't have anything to do with eggplant emojis, would it?
No, we've talked about that as well.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The secret meaning of eggplants, it's not so secret.
It's
yeah.
too expensive to make it about emojis, I think.
And again, if you're the people trying to terrorize Pete, pay the joke off.
Yeah,
pay it's it been off. Too long. Yeah. All right, well, we're off to a flying start.
I love a good eggplant. Drop some off at my house.
Oh, so you would like to be stalked by the eggplant stalker.
I'll make a nice, moussaka, the eggplant casserole.
Watch your mouth. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. This is more on entertainment with item number one being Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper, Monday in a Tribune interview, said that a new album was going to come out this week.
They were going to drop it?
Said he was going to drop some tunes. Before his concert on Saturday, he's doing a Special Olympics concert with Smokey Robinson and many others on Saturday. He said that the new album was going to be released before then. Yesterday, he tweeted out that the album will not be out this week, that he is working on it. He is in studio. So,
I can't wait.
Steve, before any tunes are dropped, got to wait a little bit longer.
It's about time, too, because it's been 2 years or so.
It's a weird thing to say it's coming out and it's not coming out. What's that about?
He's delayed.
They didn't have enough
digital space?
No, but he's of the Kanye camp, and what that means is that there's a lot of tweaking. They'll put stuff out, and they're not ready. They want to they listen to the headphones. They want to do it again. So there's a lot there.
That's
they have
what
to clear
I do.
A lot of people. There's
that's
probably
what I
a
do
ton
with
of
my
great
hip-hop.
Superstars.
The real reason was that his smoke alarm went off at 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's exactly right.
Lost a lot of sleep.
It's very
can't
very,
rap when you're tired.
Very cranky.
Anyone knows that.
Former Destiny's Child member has stood up and taken responsibility for trouble she's going through to try to help others.
Michelle Williams has stepped forward. She's actually been in a facility now for depression, saying that she suffered from it since she was in her teens, and actually even revealed that when she was in Destiny's Child, that was suicidal at that time. Mm. So she said she decided to take the same advice that she has given to hundreds of people in the past. And seek some help out for this.
If you have clinical depression, it is not your fault. It's not something to be ashamed of. There is help out there. And never ever tell somebody who tells you they're depressed to get over it, walk it off. You got a great life, snap out of it. Not helpful. Not helpful at
and
all.
And in this case, too, this is Destiny's Child, one of the biggest bands on the planet. If you're of the mindset that, if I was just rich and famous, I wouldn't be depressed.
Yeah, rich, famous, and beautiful. Depression doesn't care.
So maybe it makes it worse.
It could. Sure. You could aggravate symptoms. Yeah. Expectations, things like that. You know, it'd be great if there was a Batwoman TV series.
Now, were you even aware that there was a Batwoman?
No, I know Batgirl. What's Batwoman?
Batwoman is a character that was developed by DC Comics in 1956.
Mm-hmm.
They developed this character as a love interest for Batman because back in the day, people were concerned that
Batman and Robin were friends.
Batman and Robin were, living together and
trying on each other's latex outfits.
There were some whispers about all that. So now, so they developed Batwoman, dropped her after a while, and then brought her back in 2006. They bring Batwoman back as a Jewish lesbian. In her real life.
Wait.
Because DC wanted to add some diversity to the stable.
So she needed to be a Jewish lesbian.
Well, I don't know if she needed to be, but that's what they made her.
Helen Greenstein is Batwoman.
My utility belt is killing me.
They describe her as a wealthy heiress.
Well,
as well.
Hey, you go solve the crime. I'll be here if you need me.
You know what I like? To catch the Joker and make a nice chicken soup.
Yeah.
They're developing this now with all of this Batwoman history. They're bringing her back, and it's being developed into a television show, possibly for the CW. Could possibly be debuting later on this year.
Do you guys know what her name is?
Yeah, Helen Greenstein.
It's something Kane, isn't it?
Yeah, Kate Kane.
Yeah.
She's reintroduced as Kate Kane.
Oh, the traditional Jewish name, Kate Kane.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time with you, I know, because you got to get back on TV. So you saw Mamma Mia 2?
Yes.
All right, we've been waiting. We went 24 hours for
very
this.
Very clear how much I've hated, how much I still hate the first Mamma Mia movie.
Mm-hmm.
Words that I never thought would come out of my mouth.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I enjoyed Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes. I really liked it. It's really,
wow.
It's fun. First of all, number one, they fixed all the singing. The people who are singing in this movie can sing.
That seems like a good idea.
What, they dubbed people in?
There's actually a moment where Pierce Brosnan, who's back in the movie and was the worst of all of the offenders in the first movie, he begins to sing, and the audience in the screening last night starts to laugh. Even before he starts singing. And he's singing the exact same song that he butchered in the first movie, except he sort of slowly talks it. He never really sings, and then the audience starts laughing. They get the joke. This was clearly a joke that the movie is acknowledging what a bad singer he was in the first movie. But everyone who can sing in this movie, everyone who does sing, is able to. Showstopper of them all, Cher, at the end of the movie, sings a version of Fernando. Do you have like 10 seconds just to hear?
Roll the clip
right here.
They were closer now, Fernando. Every hour, every minute seemed to last eternity.
Oh, she's good.
Cher also made the announcement yesterday that she is going to be doing an entire album of ABBA songs. She's going to have that coming out in September.
I can't endorse that. I was good with the first part, but that part I can't get behind.
I sort of can't wait for it.
Okay.
I'll tell you more about the movie on Friday, but this movie is really well done. Fun at the movies. Fun and delightful at the
Stop
movies.
Stop leaving eggplants at Pete's house. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Dean. Let's do this. We're going to do our British Open picks in a second. Mary Vandeveld's super excited about it. Hey, golfers, this season treat yourself to Cantini and Wheaton 27. Great holes of golf. Challenging, always in great condition. Walk, ride, or enjoy your round with one of Cantini's excellent young caddies. Cantini Golf Academy is amazing. So is the 9-hole course just for kids. It's not just the golf, though. Outstanding food and hospitality are part of the Cantini experience. Head over to Wheaton. Let the Cantini folks make your day. Learn more and book a tee time. Go to CantiniGolf.com. CantiGny. That's CantiniGolf.com. By the way, a winner in our own Pick the Majors contest, Sandberg, gets the Cantini foursome, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So what did they do?
On Friday at 7:10, we're going to give it away.
Okay. Just from people that have entered?
Nobody's entered yet. We'll come up with something fun to do.
That's because I said that you had to bring
got
me
it,
in.
Got
I've
it.
Never
so I
golf
see.
Before, so.
As usual, we control our own destiny.
We do.
All right. So again, it's CantiniGolf.com.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Three golfers plus the winning score, live from Carnoustie, as it's called. Carnoustie is arguably the toughest of the British Open, the rotational courses. And I've not looked at the weather this weekend, have you?
I have not checked the weather. I'll do that.
Sandberg,
right
you're
now.
A golf nut.
I thought there was some wind yesterday. My favorite has been watching people. Is it the 16th hole or that one bunker?
Where the people die? Where
yeah.
they go to die?
Yeah. They've been showing all the players practicing getting out of that player, like on their butts, you mm-hmm. know, trying to hit out. It's
Thursday, sunny and 68. Friday, 70% chance of rain. Looks good for Saturday and Sunday. Friday is the iffy day.
And Friday's 60s. Cut day.
Yeah.
So, Carnoustie...
is where in one round, Phil and Tiger both shot 82 or 83 in the middle of like a rainstorm, monsoon, hurricane, tornado. They were all happening at the same time.
Yes.
So we go to the picks. Sandberg, give me three golfers and the winning score.
You want mine?
Yep. By the way, you're keeping track of all of these while you do this.
Yes. McIlroy.
Rory.
Francisco Molinari.
Francisco Molinari.
And Jason Day.
Jason Day.
And I'm going to say even par.
Even par. So savvy pick. It's a tough course. Dave Eddick.
Ricky Fowler.
Ricky Fowler.
Dustin Johnson.
Have I told you my Ricky Fowler story?
No.
I think I have. Let me do it again. Ricky Fowler, Justin.
Yeah, NASCAR driver. Got it.
Not quite. Ricky Fowler. Sandberg, the most popular amongst American the golfer, top yeah. five most popular American golfers.
Just got engaged to Allison.
Big time fashion icon. It's 10 years ago, probably. And I was in Tulsa playing in a charity event where there were a lot of pros. And the night prior to the tournament, there was, it's called a pairings party, where you decide which pro will play with you. And I keep hearing this behind me. And I turn around, and there's this long-haired, flat-brimmed hat kid with his tongue halfway down his girlfriend's throat. And I turn around like the old man I am, and I turn around, look at this guy, and I go, where the hell is his
Show
father?
Some respect, right?
Where is his father? Next pick, somebody goes, Ricky Fowler. It was Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, of course.
It was Ricky nice. Fowler playing tonsil hockey with his girlfriend.
Fowler doesn't have to follow the rules.
No, he's Ricky Fowler.
He's Ricky Fowler.
Pairings parties are very romantic.
Yes, yes, they really are. They always have been. Mary Vanderbilt.
Wait, I didn't finish my picks.
Oh, you didn't do your picks?
Yeah, Johnson.
Fowler, Johnson, Francesco Molinari, minus seven.
Minus seven.
Minus seven. They're going to
better be hoping for good weather.
Yep.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Okay, I'm just telling you, I picked these like the other day because you said we had to pick them the other day.
Yeah.
So I've had this Francesco dude all week long.
Okay.
And, you know, I just...
So you're not just copying?
No, I'm not. I had him down all week, and I love Ricky Fowler, so I had him as well. And this other guy, I have no clue who he is, Xander?
Oh, Xander. Xander Schauffele.
Souffle.
Xander Schauffele. It's a Rolling Stones song. Do the Xander Schauffele.
I just like his name.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good player.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a good
Where's
player.
Where's he from?
He's from Xanderland.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you have a score, Mayor?
Minus two.
Minus two. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Justin!
I'll go with Rick Fowler. He's getting older. So we'll get Ricky.
The wrestler?
Yeah, the Ricky. He's got to become Rick at some point. Richard Fowler.
Isn't there a wrestler named Rick Fowler?
Rick Probably. Flair.
Rick Flair, is that him?
Ricky Flair!
I just like Ricky Fowler because it sounds like he's Ricky Bobby.
He does sound like an NASCAR guy.
I'll take him. I'll take Tommy Fleetwood, and then I'll take Lindsey Buckingham as well.
Lindsey Buckingham did not make
he didn't the make it Tommy
tournament.
Fleetwood
We're going to need a third golfer. By the way, how do you know to pick Tommy Fleetwood? You did some homework.
No, I did. I'm going by the names. I'm an 80s baseball guy. Yeah. I just love the names. So I'm looking. So everyone picked Francesco Molinari, but I'm going to go with a different guy. I'm going to go Hideki Matsuyama.
You know, all of us picked Molinari thinking, I'm going to be the only one with Molinari.
Turns out it's Molinari morning.
Can I get a score, Justin?
I'll do four under.
Joe Romano.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. You?
I'm good.
All right, make your picks.
All right, I got Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Alex Noren. Mark Leishman.
Mark Leishman. Aussie. Big, tall, drink of water.
Who's that Alex guy?
Alex Noren, he was the guy that played the kid on Facts of Life.
Oh.
Gotcha. What?
You got a score, Joe?
Anybody take plus one yet?
Nope.
Plus one?
Wow. That's mine.
Okay. All right, fine.
Don't take it.
Steve Cochran. Tommy Fleetwood.
Yep.
Tiger Woods and Paul Casey.
Wow.
Winning score 3 under.
All right, let's get Steve Grzanich.
I don't know golf. Let's see. Carl Spackler.
Yeah, I'll give you picks.
Jack Nicholson.
Here's what you're picking. You're picking Sergio Garcia. That's one of your picks.
Sergio
Garcia. Repeat after me. Sergio Garcia.
Was he the guy that played the...
Yeah, he's that guy. Okay. Dustin Johnson. Okay, you got that? Dustin Johnson?
J-O-H-N.
Yeah, that's standard Johnson.
Okay.
The normal Johnson spelling. Yeah, you're normal Johnson.
Give him a Brooks Koepka.
It was actually Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka.
Brooks.
Brooks Koepka.
I tried.
And your winning score will be even par. Or somebody got even?
So I have even.
Oh, your winning score is one under.
So one under.
So I can't go with Happy Gilmore?
No, Happy Gilmore is not. He's not in the field.
All these years, Mary Vandeveld has never asked for help, and she's made her own picks, and you turn around and give Grzanich these picks.
I like Steve.
Fair.
I like Steve.
It's not fair. You like Mary, too, don't you?
No, I like Mary. I like Mary, but Mary is much harder to work with.
And we just like golf both the same. Hey.
I would never do that to you.
How come nobody's going with the Justin Dustin, Jason Jordan people?
Steve just picked Dustin Johnson. Yeah, he insisted on it.
Yeah. And Carl Speckler.
And Carl Speckler as well. Well, there you go. Those are the picks. And don't forget, somebody's going to win that Cantini foursome on Friday. We're back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
How much money do you think you'll need in retirement?
Not much. 500? A lot. If you have kids and all that, they're very important. Thousands of bucks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
Fred Bill Geiger's here. We'll talk retirement here in a second. Still getting texts from folks about these eggplants being dropped off at Pete Zimmerman's house. 773, maybe they'll drop off some Parmesan cheese. You could have a nice dinner.
That's the problem is they ruin them. They carve into the eggplant, spoiling it.
What's an eggplant cost?
I think they're expensive, right? They're $4 or $5. Maybe. I don't know.
It's a lot of money.
I mean, maybe they're growing them. Maybe they're garden. But still, it'd be such a bummer to grow all summer or whatever it takes to grow an eggplant just to use it as a threat.
Yeah, you're not taking like a T-bone and just tossing it up front. Come on. 309, put an exploding dye pack under a watermelon. It's fair. 219, how about this? One of you goes to the gym. The other stays home for surveillance.
Man, you can't. You know, if you've watched one Charles Bronson movie, you've watched them all, but you understand you can't change the way you live your life. You can't let the terrorists, the eggplant terrorists win.
That's how they win?
Yeah.
815, who drops off eggplants? They're friggin' expensive.
I know, right?
815, sounds like you should call Denzel Washington. This is Equalizer 3.
Newer version of Charles Bronson.
773, maybe the former homeowners want their house back and they're trying to scare you into moving. What is this? Like a Lucy episode.
Except it's an eggplant. Like, there are other ways to scare. That if that were the scenario, there's other ways to scare.
815, it should be a cucumber because it's cheaper this time of year. These people are rich. 847, eggplants are considered nightshade plants. They can sometimes be poisonous. Eggplants can be poisonous?
So you're thinking the theory there is that this is a poison play.
So it's a message.
It's a message, but it's also hoping that Pete takes a spoon into the raw eggplant.
And then dies a slow and painful death?
A slow and painful death.
So here's the deal, kids. We're not kidding. Pete Zimmerman, one of the producers on this show, fine human being. He and his wife keep getting eggplant dropped off in front of their house every couple of weeks with no explanation, and a sort of angry A. Yep.
Scratched in, carved into
the eggplant. We'd like to know what is going on.
I think Pete's not telling us something. That's what I think.
There's a missing piece to the story. Like he owes somebody something.
Yeah.
It's like Trump with Putin. You know?
Maybe it's his Putin.
Yeah, we need Pete's tax returns. That'll tell us about the eggplant. All right, 844. As I said, our friend Bill Geiger's here. So, Bill, the guy that runs this place, a guy named Todd Manley. And hi, by the way. How are you? Yeah. Nice to see you, as always. And it's Geiger Wealth Management. What's your phone number over there?
630-866.
Somebody again,
630-866-6900.
All right. So the deal is this. Todd Manley turns 55. Am I right about that, Sandberg? I think it's 55 tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, he has taken all the furniture that we didn't move from the Tribune Company. He's selling it and keeping the money.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's not a great retirement plan, is it?
That could be a beginning.
But it's seed money.
It's seed money.
It's a start.
Okay.
I was thinking about you this morning because you always talk about making your life bulletproof, making your portfolio bulletproof. Now, every rich guy on the planet, I mean the really rich guys, every rich person on the planet is talking about it's almost over. We could have another 2007, 2008 anytime. Seem to be pointing towards 2020. You're not here to be the bearer of bad news. You're here to say be prepared when it happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're in your late 50s. That's like, if you're in your late 50s, you probably have more money you've ever had in your life. Kind of stands to reason. And the last thing that you want or need at that time is a big loss. Because if you have a big loss at that stage, we were talking about this before we went on air, that's you're cooked. You're going to have to work a lot longer. Yeah, you don't have time. You're going to work a lot longer, or you're going to live a lot smaller. So late 50s, early 60s, it's time to really start getting serious.
I wonder, because we had Elise Glink on last hour talking about the pending recession, as more and more experts are looking at a course correction in the market. Is that tantamount to a big loss? I mean, as more and more people, almost everybody now has all their money in the stock market when it comes to retirement, 401ks,
right,
and like.
Right.
So is that the same concept? I mean, out of your control.
It is. And anybody, and this is no offense to Elise because I didn't hear her show, anybody who tells you they know when it's going to happen, they don't. I've been doing this for 35 years, and my crystal ball fogged over many years ago. But I can tell you, you can get a funny feeling in the pit of your stomach when things are getting a little dicey, and it kind of feels like that right now.
So let's say I got a bunch of money in the stock market, and they might even be individual stocks.
Right.
Do I need to go liquid?
Well, you need to rebalance. You need to take part of your portfolio at this stage of your life and create what you're going to need in retirement, and that's dependable, sustainable income.
Well, see, I'm the guy you're talking about. I'm 57.
Yeah.
So at 57 years old, is there a percentage of cash that I ought to have on hand? Or
It's not a percentage of cash. It's a percentage of your portfolio that you dedicate toward creating income.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're 57, it should probably be about 57%. That's kind of the rule of thumb. As you set that aside to create the income, you're going to need to supplement your Social Security.
This is money I'm not spending, or this is
money that you're going to get income from when you retire.
Right.
When you retire, you're going to have Social Security. You may have a pension from the industry that you're in, but here's a news flash. It's not going to be enough.
Right, and that's why you talk about building your own pension, creating your own pension.
That's right. You build your own income stream, and if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, this is a time to really, particularly in this stock market environment, this is really a time to start thinking about doing that.
You mentioned, you know, if you have a 401k and you're in your 30s, maybe early 40s, like myself, I can have a more risky portfolio because I'm trying to raise and change. But when you're in your late 50s or 60s and the impending doom is on the horizon and the experts are talking about it, dude, when you talk about rebalance, do you go to your financial experts and you say, listen, I want the safest, least riskiest portfolio I possibly can have?
Listen, if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, your financial advisor should have brought this up.
Okay.
Really? Otherwise, you need a new financial advisor.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know.
But that's the idea, that as you get older, that you want a less risky portfolio.
That's right. Right. That's right. You still want growth. You just don't want a 40-50% loss like 08. And, you know, in 30s and 40s, you can blow yourself up. It's not fun, but you got 30 years to make it back up again. Late 50s, you don't have 30 years. And it's just the way it is.
So somebody comes in and they've got a decent amount of money set aside, but it's not in that sustainable income category. What's the first thing you do?
Well, the first thing you do is you really want to understand who they are as individuals and as people and what they're trying to accomplish. But the kind of the second thing you do is you want to understand just how much risk they have. We've got some pretty sophisticated software we use for Morningstar that does just that. And if they've got too much risk, You take steps to lower it.
And those steps include?
Those steps include rebalancing toward having part of your portfolio in income. And the part that's left in growth, you manage it differently. You don't have the same manager that you had when you're 30. When you're 30, you're trying to knock the ball out of the park. When you're at this stage, you still want growth, but keep with the baseball analogy, you want to hit singles and doubles without strikeouts.
Right. All right, here's a question from a listener.
Put the ball
312. If you take a chunk of your portfolio and you hand it over to, say, an annuity company for an income stream, it loses its liquidity. And additionally, the income stream may not increase with inflation and can lose value. What do you do in a circumstance like that?
Well, you really don't lose liquidity. You don't. That's a fallacy.
That's an annuity myth?
Yeah, it's an annuity myth.
Dave, was that a band called Annuity Myth?
I believe you were. I think they played Lollapalooza.
I think so as well.
It sounds like a band's name, doesn't
it? But you have to be in the right annuity.
Yeah, you do. And being in the right annuity is like saying, I can't stand eating beets. Mm-hmm. My wife loves beets. If I have a beet on the plate and the red juice comes down, touches the mashed potatoes, I can't eat the mashed potatoes.
What are you, seven?
That'd be like, no, I just, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
I get it.
But that'd be like me saying, I don't like vegetables.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. I just don't like beets. They're not for me. They are for my wife. And annuities are tools. And if the tool works for what you're doing, you use it. If it doesn't, you don't.
Well, who's somebody that's not a candidate for an annuity discussion?
Probably somebody in their 30s.
Right, because it's too young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need that protection. They don't need that downside protection. But annuities aren't the only solution in any case. There are other solutions for income.
What's your favorite solution for income?
An annuity. There are other ones, but that's, you know, if you've got an account you can't lose money on, it grows tied to an index of some sort, and you've got income that you can't outlive, there's worse ways to take a part of your portfolio and to put it to work.
We were talking about being in your 40s. 630 texter says, I'm mid-40s. Is there a number I should have saved at this point?
You know, I was just reading an article about this, about millennials. The top age of millennials, 37. The average age they want to retire at is 61.
Hmm.
The average savings is $12,000.
At 37?
At 37.
They're planning on still milking off their parents, I think.
Yeah, you better have rich parents.
Yeah, living in the basement, yeah. Right.
Yeah, $12,000 is not going to get it done.
But when you say savings, does that include 401k?
Yeah, it includes your 401k. $12,000, that's it. And if you're that, you know, at that age, you should be saving 15% anyhow. Should max out in your 401k.
15% through
the time you retire.
Through the time you retire.
Yeah, okay. Of everything you make.
My last question just is, as generations look at money differently, as you're seeing with someone up to 37, millennials, they're not looking at savings, they're living life now. Does the idea of retirement, does the market change? Has anything changed to adjust for a whole generation of people that aren't following the rules of the generations before?
There's going to be a whole lot of people still living in their parents' basements at 65.
Well, it's because millennials don't have the same career cash drive that previous generations have had.
I think
make them bad people, but it doesn't bode well for later in life.
Well, I just wonder if the money will adjust, meaning that, you know, you will need people to be buying houses at 65.
You know, there is no magic dust that you can sprinkle in that conversation. I just have to make it better.
All right, so let's talk.
You save.
We're way late here, but I want to make sure we discuss this. Let's talk about the average Joe, as a texter referred to for a second. You know, what you're doing in your 40s may really change in 10 or 15 years, but maybe by the time you're in your late 50s, you hit it. Maybe you got a bunch of money put away. But in your 30s and 40s, you've got expenses you don't have later in life. You got kids, you probably got to save for college. You got camp expenses. Hey, he needs a new computer. You know, there's money you're laying out that you're not laying out later in life.
Yeah.
So, just as a separate or inspirational locker room halftime speech here, what do you say to the 37-year-old with $12,000 to help them get where they need to be?
What they do is they go to their HR department. They say, I want 15% of my money taken out for my 401k plan. I never want to see it. If they don't see it, they're going to figure out how to live on what's left, just like you figure out how to live on whatever you're making. You figure out how to live and what's left, and after, it's painful for a couple months, but after that, you don't miss it.
Why are there so many financial advisors on TV saying don't do annuities? Is that just a gimmick? Is that a marketing thing?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because like you said, there's some annuities that are fine and some that are beats.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, beats for me.
What's their impetus? Is the impetus just they want your money now?
Well, it's they want you to put your money in the stock market.
I got you. Okay.
And you know, God bless. If that works, wonderful. If it doesn't work, I don't want to be the financial advisor that advised my clients to stay 100% invested and they can't retire.
And one of the things that Bill Geiger has always taught us and enforced is not every 45, 55, or 65-year-old is the same.
No, they're not.
So bring in your lives Yep. And your people will talk about your lives, your hopes, and what you want to do with it.
Yep, exactly.
And your goals. Look, nothing can be more frustrating than working your whole life than running out of money. You don't want to run out of money, Bill. Running out of money is a bad idea. And you don't want it to be out of your hands on how you're going to live the last 20 or 30 years or more. It's unemployment is what it is, because for the last 20 or 30 years, which should be some of the best years of your life, nobody's giving you a paycheck for that, are they?
No, they're not.
No. They're not paying you to sit around, go golfing, watch the People's Court. Look, they're going to sit down with you personally. Why the People's Court? Where'd that reference come from? They're going to sit down with you and create a full-blown retirement plan at Geiger Wealth Management right now. It's up to a $3,000 value. So if you've put away a nice chunk of dough, if you got $500,000 or more, $1,000 or more, how do you know it's safe? You got to find out.
Yes.
So you'll do a full-blown financial workup for the next five callers at 800-681-2498, together with you and Bill and the team. Going to translate this complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps, and people will walk out with a plan, right?
Yeah, and this is the first five callers is complimentary, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. Going to help you get where you need to be. So call Geiger Wealth right now for your complimentary, personalized, full-blown retirement plan. And Bill has often said this, Justin, this may work for you. If your retirement's not set up appropriately, he's a good guy. You can move in with him.
Great. Looking forward to it.
I got a big basement.
There we go.
800-681-2498. Geiger Wealth Management at 800-681-2498. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's a great texter from the 309. I believe there ought to be a class in high school called Your Future, and it should entail much of the information you're talking about. I'm 70. I'm working three jobs.
They do have that, right?
Isn't that kind of what like home ec?
No,
inside a consumer.
No,
class.
No. Here's what home ec is. Here's your checkbook. Here's how you write a check. And then what do they call the new home ec? There's a different name for it.
Consumer education.
Yeah, consumer ed.
But what you need, you
real
have
world
it too
stuff.
Early. High school is not the time you need it. You need it when you're 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And then when you have your first kid and you're like, oh, this is costing me. It needs to be constant education.
What's missing out of this conversation is the fact that everything costs more. Sorry, you could say so that you could
but
then everything costs.
But hold on, then. Your answer is everything should cost less. I think you can get elected on this platform.
I know, right? That's my slogan.
A couple of last texters, and hi to everybody on CLTV, trying to figure out why Pete keeps getting eggplants at his front door. 312, we all know how much Greeks love eggplants. This is a warning from the Greeks.
Hmm.
Okay. And 815, Steve, you say you're looking for a payoff on the eggplant story. Here it is. And we are the aristocrats. Thank you very much. I like that. I have to leave the show now at this time, and Justin and company are taking over. I'll see you guys back here tomorrow.
All right.
I got a thing. I know the show's on until 10. It's just a day where I got a thing.
It's okay. You can have a thing.
I got a thing.
Okay.
This is like one of those things where you leave and don't come back, right?
No, I'm going out to get some eggplant. Okay.
He's got to go. He's got to go put it in Pete's yard.
Right. You got to get that done before Pete gets home.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Cochran Show. Steve stepped out from the show. Back tomorrow. Mary Sandberg and Dave Ennett, Steve Grzanich, Mary Vandevelt are all here in studio. We've got a full house today because we're talking about the Silver Room Block Party, which is turning 15 this year. The street festival that features hundreds of artists and a full Saturday of live music drew over 30,000 people to Hyde Park last year. The Silver Room Block Party began 15 years ago in Wicker Park as a small-scale festival out in front of the Silver Room Boutique on Milwaukee. The store sold clothing and jewelry, but also served as a meeting space for writers, musicians, and artists. Owner Eric Williams moved to Hyde Park a few years back, and the little festival on Milwaukee became a juggernaut on 53rd. Three of the organizers are in studio today to talk about the event. Silver Room owners Eric Williams and business associate Rob McKay, who's also director of productions, and Mario Smith. Mario, a frequent contributor to WGN Radio. The Silver Room Block Party takes place this Saturday on 53rd Street in Hyde Park, noon to 10. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's awesome to see you guys. Mario, how do you like the digs?
I'm freaking out. This is really nice. Boy, WGN, go. Go get them. This is how you live, man. You're the king of the hill.
That's it. This is a beautiful view. Eric, you know, we've known each other for a couple years now, and we've talked about the history and the origin story of Silver Room. But to be here, 15th annual Silver Room Block Party, well, how does it feel to start right there, the idea that this thing, this idea that you had, is now in its 15th year?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really think about it 15 years ago. I was just trying to get some friends together, you know, and have a little party in the alley. Now it's like a big thing, and security and permits and all that kind of stuff. So it's still fun.
Do you guys, I mean, do you look back and see the growth of this thing to the fact that, I mean, as I mentioned, 30,000 plus people. I went last year. It was crowded. It was crazy. It seemed like a full-on, not just the community that's in Hyde Park, but the whole city of Chicago is coming out to this thing.
Well, last year we had a chance to look back because 30,000 people showed up and we were like, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. We just stood back. Eric pulled me to the side. He was like, man, I wasn't expecting this many people. But we were, you know, we were kind of.
It's grown every year. I mean, like I said, the first year, literally, it was probably 200 people. And it was an alley. It was actually an alley. The first two block parties were in an alley next to my house. And we had cords coming out of my window. I lived above the store. Right. And I had a cord coming out of my window. That was our power. Now we got, I won't even tell you what our generators cost this year.
Well, you've talked about this before, but, you know, even early on, when you were trying to get people to come to it, you were just friends and family, and, mm-hmm. and you were the DJ, or you were trying to find people who knew how to DJ. This has changed. I mean, now you look at the lineups, and it's a who's who of artists in Chicago, but mm-hmm. the early days, I mean, it really was Eric's party.
Yeah, it was just some friends. I mean, it was just like some friends come over. We all had a little bit of talent, and somebody could sing, and let's sing, and somebody could DJ, somebody could dance. I mean, it was just very, very informal and casual. And, you know, 200 people and 400 and double, and here we are.
Sometimes when something like that happens where it started off cool and niche and small and then grows, you get accused of being a sellout or yeah. it being inauthentic once it gets too large.
Yeah.
Have you had any of that type of response?
No.
Or
no.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit, Mario.
Okay.
I mean,
you're the boss.
I mean, you know, when things are small and organic, you know, and money is never an issue because it's just like the small thing. And then people see all these people, then money becomes a factor, and then the sponsors. Then you have to figure out how do you still do certain things and still keep it authentic. So it is a bit of a challenge to do both. Because,
but Mario, you're right, because in a way that it almost becomes something different.
You know, the thing I've been hosting the block party, or one of the hosts, for 13 of them. From the third one to this one, it's exponential growth, right? For me, it's always seeing people I love, people I haven't seen in decades, getting a chance to see people come in from out of town, meeting new people. It stays fresh and new for me. The crowd thing, that was alarming at first. You know, because it was a lot of people. But once you look and you realize what Eric has built and just how dope that is, it's fine. And if they won't say sell out to my face, so you know, I'm cool with that.
Eric, well, what do you think changed it? I mean, is all word of mouth?
Pretty much. I mean, it's very organic. I mean, we just sent out the lineup like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Literally 5 days ago. And that's done on purpose.
That was pretty much only to the artists.
Right.
The lineup is going to go out today.
Right. So people will fly in and plan to come to the event. You know, it's not really yes, we have great performers, but it's not a headliner kind of event. Folks come for the energy of the party, for the friends, for the family kind of atmosphere, knowing it'll be good music. It's always good music, but they come because of the event itself. And I think that's what's most important. They know it's going to be good, and families and all that.
And I mean, you got people like Twilight Tone and Sidewalk Chalk and, you know,
Bobito.
Everybody is the headliner. That's what I've always liked about it. And you discover new groups. Chance the Rapper graced that stage during a block party as part of a clique that many hip-hop heads may know about, Save Money.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you nobody knew who Chance was, and people knew him, though. And now it's like he's Chance the Rapper, right? Delaying albums and stuff.
I wonder this crowd size, if it's going to be like a Blackhawks Stanley Cup parade, where
Ooh-wee.
If it's not 30,000 this year, you're going to have to say 50 just because, you know.
Oh, no. It'll
inflate
probably
your
be,
numbers.
It'll be 50.
It'll be more. I mean, we've had more people come every single year.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it really, back to your point, it really is people just come and have a good time. It's really simple. People come and have a good time and tell their friends.
The Silver Room Block Party is taking place this Saturday on 53rd Street, Harper Court. In Hyde Park, noon to 10 p.m. Eric Williams, Mario Smith, Rob McKay in studio today on The Cochran Show. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with you guys. So 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve this hour. Dave Ennett, Mary Sandberg, Vandeveld, Grzanich, everybody's here, including the guys behind the Silver Room Block Party, which is celebrating its 15th anniversary this Saturday at Harper Court in Hyde Park. Mario Smith, Eric Williams, Rob McKay are here in studio with us. It's a great story. It's one of these stories that, you know, I remember Silver Room in Wicker Park, and of course, that was a huge place for the Chicago's artistic community to come together. And you've continued that with the store on 53rd Street.
Yeah. It's actually, it's grown since we moved. And I think it's because there's not as much stuff happening out there, you know, and people really appreciate it more. And also people say, I don't want to have to go into the north side. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, it's right in our backyard, and it's appreciated.
Were you trepidatious at all as someone who was at the epicenter of what was considered at the time in Wicker Park to be the epicenter of cool, where artistic communities came together? Were you trepidatious about moving to Hyde Park?
You know, not really, honestly. I was kind of ready to leave Wicker Park. Also, I realized a lot of people who were coming were from the South Side. And it just hit me one day. I'm like, wait a minute. These people don't live in this neighborhood. Because I had been in Wicker Park since the early 90s. And gradually people had left. And they moved to, whatever, you know, Park Forest, you know, Inglewood, whatever they moved to. They're not in Wicker Park anymore.
Right.
So over the years, you would see less and less, you know, people. They would frequent less. And I realized, like, these people live on the South Side, you know. And so when I moved, it was like, welcome, you're here. I don't have to go to the north side anymore.
We've seen so much in Chicago in the last 10 years in development, and 53rd Street is one of the areas where you have seen a huge change, even from when I was younger and go to Harper Court. It is nothing like it used to be.
Nope.
Is that a good thing for Hyde Park and the south side of Chicago?
I think it's a good thing. Anytime you have change like that, where they still focus on the original, you know, landscape of the community, but creating that balance. I know Eric and I, we talk all the time about gentrification, but I think in that area they found the right balance, or they continue to seek the right balance. I don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah. Well, Hyde Park is weird, right? Because it's in the city and everything, but it's very much not part of the city. And originally it was a township. Mm-hmm. I won't go all off into my
history
of Chicago lesson. But I think what makes Hyde Park, what has always made Hyde Park great, is that it's, and I've said it a million times, it is a microcosm of the city of Chicago. It is everything that makes Chicago great. That's why Hyde Park is great. And the Block Party and Silver Room coming to the neighborhood just enhanced it, because that meant that people would come, because people would come to see Eric.
The Block Party is a very positive story on the south side of Chicago. When you see more and more stories about gun violence and poverty, and it gets lumped into, when if there's poverty in the city, they'll say the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. This is one of those events that happens every year where 30,000 people come to 53rd Street, and it's not about anything else.
You know, the narrative is always, when it's about the south side, it's gloom and doom, and that is incorrect. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people living in that part of the world that are doing fine, that want it to be better, of course, but they're doing fine. And when you come to the Block Party, you get to witness the power, almost at the power of street knowledge, like I was about to bust a verse. You get to witness the power of people coming together and being their vibration being high and that energy being real. That's a real tangible thing, and you can see it and you can feel it. It could rain on us and we won't move. It's going to be dope, and the kids are going to have a good time. It's built for this city, and I'm so glad I don't have to go north to do this gig. I can do it right down the street from my house. It's perfect.
And the fact that the community feels like it's a part of it, mm-hmm. that energy resonates from the top. That it starts at the Silver Room. The Silver Room is that community hotbed where it's like the barbershop.
Yeah.
It's a store.
Yeah,
it's like a barbershop without cutting hair.
Yep. Yeah.
Eric, is there a point, I mean, you moved out, you were a fellow at Harvard, you're an entrepreneur, you're developing your voice and your persona as a businessman. Is there a point where the Block Party goes away? Like, where you go, all right, that's a lot of work, and it's great for community, but I got some money to make.
You know, I don't know. Every year I kind of like, this is a lot of work. Every year. But the day of the event, I said, for me, the most important thing is the kids, you know. And so when I see kids playing and, you know, jumping rope and folks reconnecting with, you know, people I haven't seen in 7 years, and then I say, okay, it's worth it. But it's a lot of work for a one-day event. It's a lot of work.
Before I let you guys go, and the Silver Room Block Party is from noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday on 53rd Street. Mm-hmm. It's a great festival. Check it out. Mario, you and I have talked for years about Chicago and neighborhoods, and for a long time before you moved to Hyde Park, you lived in South Shore. South Shore is at the epicenter of the story this week about the police shooting and the barber who was shot on 71st Street. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know about South Shore? We had the Fraternal Order of Police on yesterday talking about that the community relationship with the police is great there, that this is not it. That, what do we need to know from the point of view of community and people who have lived there?
Okay. As quick as I can. I think the relationship between the police and the community could be exponentially better. I think the relationship between the politicians and the community in South Shore could be exponentially better. Not to say that it's bad, but it could be much better. I think the people who live in South Shore could do better. We all have to kind of, I think there's a point where you have to drop it and destroy it and look at it and rebuild it. And naturally, you're not going to destroy South Shore, but you have to think about how you want this neighborhood to look 20 years from now as opposed to 20 years past. The incident that happened over the weekend is unfortunate on multiple levels. I think what really bothers me the most, though, is that we will never be able to hear what happened prior to that brother getting shot. And I think it would do a lot to just answer certain questions about what happened. But back to South Shore is a brilliant neighborhood. It's got a lake by it, man. You know what I'm saying? It has wonderful schools in it. South Shore itself is redeveloping into a hub for restaurants and things of that nature. I hate when people talk bad about any neighborhood I've ever lived in, but particularly South Shore, because that's where I grew up. I have an affinity for that neighborhood the only other neighborhood in town that I have that affinity for is the one that I live in. So yeah, I just hope for the sake of the people in the neighborhood that everybody figures it out as quick as they can and let's find solutions to these very many problems in South Shore.
So you said that the relationship between politicians and the area could be much better. That takes good people going into politics also that
Absolutely.
Understand. So, like, a next vent thing for step for you guys?
No! Absolutely not!
Next question.
No! No, you know what? What's funny? I don't believe I'm about to say this out of my mouth. People like to give me this nickname of the mayor of Hyde Park, which I have never said before out loud until today. I wouldn't run for any office because I don't think I am as qualified as the smartest person I know that could run for it. I would consult, I would help build, but no. All I don't want to do that.
So then Eric? Yeah. We're looking at the Harvard.
I don't know about that. I mean, I enjoy working with different kinds of people, you know, politicians. I mean, actually, for the block party, we partner with the aldermen and, you know, the downtown Hyde Park. They help us put this together. But it's the university, it's small business owners, it's everybody coming together to put this together. So politics are obviously very important, but that's not something I want to do. There you go.
Eric Williams, Mario Smith, and Rob McKay in studio. The Silver Room Block Party this Saturday from noon to 10 p.m. 53rd Street, right there in Hyde Park, Harper
it's
Court.
It's going to be amazing.
It's a great street fest. It really does showcase what Chicago does best, and that's bring people together and eating food on a curb.
And call Tom Skilling and tell him, can he put it off to at least like 11 p.m.?
I'll do my best with Tom Skilling.
And we encourage bike riding.
Please don't
public
drive.
Transportation.
Do not drive.
Do not drive. 30,000 people drive. Plus last year are expecting more this year. Eric, Mario, Rob, thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
We know that music. It is time, 720 WGN, to bring in Ro Khan, the host of the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVellantes, which airs here on WGN. from 3 to 7 every single day when there's no White Sox.
I mean, why do you put it like that? Why do you do me like that?
Yeah, people want to hear the White Sox. And they're like, oh, I got Roe instead.
I prefer not to look at it that way, but all right.
Justin used to benefit from the White Sox and Blackhawks schedules where he didn't have shows when they had games. Right, and now he's on the morning show. And as Dave Bennett can attest, there is a show every single day.
We rarely have games this time of day.
Yeah, so it's a grind.
Good to see you, Ro.
Nice to be seen.
So a lot to talk about. But before we get to talking about anything that might be on your program, are you familiar with the story we've been talking about today, that Pete Zimmerman is being accosted by an anonymous eggplant attacker? Do you call it attacker? Someone is leaving eggplants on his step with a carved A, almost looks like an anarchy A symbol.
Oh, wow.
And it's been like just. And
it was a cute children's story until that happened. Yeah,
and so he doesn't know what to make of it. Nobody around him knows how to make of it.
Do we know that it's arriving specifically for him?
Well, that's the question. We're not sure.
It's placed at his house.
It's placed at his house, and it's happened on multiple occasions, including just as early as last week. So 815 said a great idea: plant poison ivy in that spot. Ancient Egyptians used to put poison ivy around valuables, so maybe if you put where they keep putting the...
They put like punchy sticks and flying darts in a big ball. That's what I saw.
And another one said, put out a sign that says, don't feed the python.
That's good.
That's good. That's good. These are all deterrents.
You know, I'm a big fan of a snarling dog. That's the way if it's a puppy.
They have dogs, but they're inside.
It's weird. Does he have cameras?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best idea, I think,
where we're going. We're trying to figure out what the message is. All this is what you can do to stop them from doing it, but I want to know what the message is being.
Yeah, I just think you put a camera out there and, let the Ring doorbell thing, get you.
I would put a piece of paper that just said, what's your point?
Get aggressive with me.
Yeah, I would like to start a dialogue.
That might open up
back channels.
That could up the tuber, though. I mean, you have to be a little careful about that, because if, you know, maybe they go from an eggplant to, you know, something a little more sinister.
Yeah.
Like a pumpkin.
Right. So eggplants are expensive.
Are they? I don't know. It's not my favorite of the things.
Yeah.
Because it's a little gassy.
Yeah. Ro, we saw yesterday the president and you know, obviously what we saw on Monday with his press conference, a backlash yesterday that I didn't think we would see with this president, because he's said some crazy things over the years. But this one in particular got the ire of everybody. He walked it back with double negatives and woulds and wouldn'ts, even though there's some thought that, you know, he went on some of the interviews after the fact and said pretty much the same thing. So where do you make of the fact that the president did this? I guess it's an apology or at least a grammatical lesson.
No, truly is not. At the end of the day, I am not apologizing. He said some weird things. You know, you could tell he was forced into it. I don't know. Have you seen the pictures of the paper that it was a New York Times photographer was able to get, which is interesting because they never used to have pictures? That shows where he actually crossed out a line. He wrote in, there is no collusion, and misspelled collusion, and then literally, and then crossed out a line on the script that he was reading from that said that we'll bring everybody to justice.
This is the apology speech.
This is the apology speech yesterday.
So he left the apology speech.
Right, and he left it on the desk, and they got a picture of it. And it's a weird moment, because he said, but there may be other people. He's keeping it open. I mean, I can just tell you what the problem. I can tell you exactly what happened if you want to know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I got it figured out.
I want to hear it.
The first most important thing is he cannot give any quarter to the notion that somebody else helped him get elected, that this is totally on him. This is his crowd size. This is his sway over America. This is about him. This is the love for him. And if somebody else stepped in, it's not so much that the Russians might have tried to help. It's more like he's insulted that anybody would believe that the Russians would make that big of a difference for him. And he doesn't want that notion out there.
You think
he's
ego.
A loser without
it's just
them.
Ego.
Right. But in the meantime, he doesn't want to tick off
Vladimir Putin is the only guy in the world he's afraid to tick off, to negotiate with from a position of supplicance as opposed to a position of strength. And he's doing that. Now, he can say he's doing that. They're claiming he's doing that because he's got nuclear weapons and he can help us in these three main places. He can help us in Syria. He can help us in Iran. He can help us in North Korea. And that's what we really need. That's the argument that the White House is giving, is that we got to be partners here because he's a serious dude. The reality is that we're not going to war, nuclear war, with Russia. Russia has an economy that is one-tenth the size of the United States. They need us. We do not need them. They need Europe. Europe does not need them. And the important thing is, if we had a nice alliance with Europe, that's a good way to lever them. Instead, he wants to break up that alliance for reasons I don't understand, which actually kind of plays into Vladimir Putin's hand here. I think the other thing is, and the darkest, most nefarious thing I'm willing to say about this, I mean, a lot of people have really dark, nefarious things. I don't know. I don't know that his people were that smart. I don't know how complicated this whole thing got. I don't know that Don Jr., you know, would even understand that this was happening to him. I've seen Don Jr. speak. He doesn't seem, he seems more emotional than he does logical. I think what really has happened here, it's really simple. He's just afraid that Vladimir Putin's going to do this to him next time. So he knows he did it, but he doesn't want Vladimir Putin He doesn't want Vladimir Putin to hurt him.
He knows he's going to do it again, and he doesn't want to get on the bad side to be the victim.
Yeah, if he helps, he helps. Right. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He's not going to help him do it.
Right.
You hope not. I mean, if he does help him, or if anybody else did help him that Donald Trump knew about it or directed it, I mean, that's a whole other issue, and I think America would agree on that. You got a sense of that finally this week but they're given a lot of you know, rope to the president here, a lot of leash, if you will, to the president to say, you know, do your stuff, and until we, you know, can prove something else, but we know these guys are doing a bad thing. I'll tell you the one thing. I'm sorry, I'm not taking a breath yet. I'm like, this is like an interview with Steve Stone. I don't understand why he's going after, you know, Dan Coats.
Yeah.
In Indiana, people know who Dan Coats is. He was a longtime senator, congressman, then senator from Indiana twice. He was senator two different times. That's a guy that people know. That's the reason he's there is because of Mike Pence. Those two have to be having a conversation. Yeah, like, right. Do you see what's going on here?
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break so we can stay on time, and we'll continue the conversation with Ro Khan.
Okay.
Take a breath.
Breathing.
He's breathing. Ro Khan, of course, 3 to 7 here on 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Yeah, 720 WGN. Steve Cochran back tomorrow. He took off a little bit early today. Justin Kaufman here with Mary Sandberg, Dave Bennett, Steve Brzezinski, Mary Vandevelt, and Ro Khan.
Yes, sir.
Ro, of course, who you can hear every day here on 720 WGN somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Afternoons, 3
Afternoons,
to 7.
Right.
Just tune in at 3 to 7. By the way, starting in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to hear us online the whole time.
Oh, nice.
So.
Oh, that's the, yeah.
Oh,
right,
so the vacation ends.
No, this is, I don't consider this a vacation. This drives me nuts. Justin and I have talked about this before. Yeah. It's hard. I want to be doing this. I love doing this. And if I'm not doing it during the day, I feel like I'm not working out, which I don't work out. So Dave would have to explain what that means to me. Yes, but you know what I mean. Well, just doesn't feel right.
It is hard. It's hard to get a rhythm, too. It's, you take a day off, especially for your show that covers current events.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I understand that.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Trump and this story that continues to, I guess, continues to develop throughout the day. The one pushback I have just on the idea that Donald Trump did something wrong or needs to apologize, and I think you see this a little bit in poll numbers as well, is people that support Donald Trump already recognize that Donald Trump is going against the political establishment. He was brought into Washington to drain the swamp. That's both Republicans and Democrats.
But
at the same time, the media is against him. So the outcry in the last day of treason and this, and from John Brennan, or whether it be from Republicans or Democrats, it plays right into, again, these people are like, of course you're going to get that from John Brennan.
That's part of his genius. That's part of the art of Donald Trump. Right. It's not really the art of the deal. It's the art of creating chaos that leads to a deal.
where people are like, I'm just so tired of this. Just give him what he wants. And I think that's a little bit of the message here that I'm starting to get from how he does this, which is if he wants his wall, he's going to create so much chaos. The idea of you know, of separating the families, that was going to create enough chaos where we're going to go, okay, fine, put the families back together. Just give us just give him the wall. And you've seen people move more to that. Now, this on the international stage, anytime he gets an Air Force One, something wacky happens, right? I mean, that is just the truth. When he goes overseas, we knew this was going to be a bit of a cluster when he, you know, when he landed there and he got off the plane, he punched Angela Merkel right in her face. I thought that was weird, but that's what he does, and you know, that's what the United States has elected. The bigger concern a lot of people have, and I share this concern, is that, how is the world stage? How's the world looking at us right now as a result of this? Are we still reliable? And one of the things about reliability, you know, Donald Trump says, I don't care. We can stand on our own. We can't, actually. We are in a global economy. The reason that this economy is as strong and robust as it is because we sell a lot of stuff to Asia and to Europe and to South America, that if those markets do dry up or slow down for us, it's going to create a problem. The reason we have international alliances are good for us.
Well, I love them in the position of pushback, but that many will say that those alliances have been taking advantage of the United States.
No, that's a misunderstanding.
But the idea that they don't pay in enough for defense, or we're picking up on tariffs and things of that nature. So there is this idea that Trump is trying to level a playing field.
Let's be honest. What does that mean? I know, but thank you for asking the question. But when he says they're not paying enough, that means they're not buying enough military manufactured goods from the United States. That's really the issue that he's talking about. Yeah. And so they want them to beef up the military. Where are they going to buy that stuff? They're going to buy it from us. And we haven't ramped up very fast because, and I want to blame, you know, we like to blame Barack Obama every once in a while here. Why not do it? That they did slow down on that significantly, defense manufacturers, in the last 10 years, because there was the sequester, which is both Congress and Barack Obama's problem. But that's that they weren't spending. So now people are ramping up.
I always say that's follow the money on all this stuff, because Donald Trump as well, if you follow the president and the decisions he makes, there's almost always, if you can whittle it down, it gets to some sort of monetary gain.
This idea
not just for him, but for whoever's in power.
Trade deficits that's a ridiculous thing. That's not, that the math doesn't work like that. That's like trying to make the 99% part of the 1% is what happened on the Sacha Baron Cohen
thing. As much fun as this conversation is, you only have like 60 seconds left. So we really want to push back on the big issues.
Yeah.
Why was Justin the only one invited to your deck party?
What deck party?
The party she of the photo
through,
gallery.
She went through the gallery and found my pink pants.
I saw your pink pants. If you would have worn regular jeans that day, I wouldn't have noticed. But I was like,
I was just in the neighborhood, and I was...
He was not the only one invited. Everyone was obviously invited. I saw Justin that day when we were leaving, and we've been talking about getting together at night that he's got this. Yeah, we're friends. We hang out. There was this sort of thing. And Justin, what did we discuss that day? Dave, we're going to need your help on this.
Yes.
Wake up, Dave.
I know.
We want to do a White Sox, just the morning show and afternoon show, a White Sox party, like, you know, at a skybox. We want to get the skybox and get the, you know, I don't know.
I mentioned it, and Steve said, you guys can do it.
Yeah, I think Steve might not make it. Dave's in. I'm in. Yeah.
Joe's in.
Vanderbilt's in.
And who else is in there?
Brzanich is in. Pete's in. Everybody's in. Steve said,
we're looking at a Tuesday night. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll even free up Kevin. Let him come.
Kevin, which one's Kevin? All right, I got it.
What's on the show? What's on the show?
More of this. And tomorrow, I'm having a colonoscopy, and I've told them I'm going to call in. And I've told them not to put me on afterwards.
Live remote.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to Katie Couric this thing.
Play by play. Dave could provide it.
I don't think so.
3 to 7, 720 WGN. Stay with us.
All of us. Online. WGN. On demand. WGNradio.com. On demand.
All right, Bill and Wendy coming up here with Bill Leff in studio. Maria in Libertyville, she gets the win for the would or wouldn't. If that gets mentioned at all in the show today, they win a prize, of course, based on the Trump situation. So a 2-hour adult adventure package for two at Northwest Indiana Deep River Aerial Park. Climb through the treetop obstacles and soar through zip lines. Fun for adventurers 8 to 88. Book online at edgeadventureparks.com. Maria, thanks for playing. There you go. Bill and Wendy up next. Bill is here. Wendy is out this week. Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm good. Right? So what? Okay, what are you doing today? Who's your cohort?
Mike Toomey will be by in a little while. He's filling in, we had a show planned, but now with everything going on with Pete Zimmerman, I'm not comfortable doing that show. I'm going to change course.
It's such a weird story.
It's obviously the work of witches. I don't know why no one's saying it, but it is obviously the work of witches.
It boggles the mind, and there's obviously a lot of people on what to do about it, but I still want to get to the root cause of it. Like, what's happening? Do they think they got the wrong house? Are they making some sort of political statement?
Everyone in this room knows Pete Zimmerman. There's nothing about Pete that you look at and you go, I have to do something to screw with his head. I bet an eggplant will do it.
I would assume this kind of thing from Rokan. I don't know if I would.
I was not there, and as I pointed out, I think I have an allergy to eggplant, so I can't do it.
Yeah.
The seeds give me gas.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you going to talk about today?
I know this won't, it'll sound like I'm messing with you, but I'm not. Venereal disease.
Okay.
So that'll come up.
Are you messing with me?
I'm not messing with you. You know, I take my venereal disease very seriously.
Very seriously, right.
So we'll discuss that. Dr. John Duffy will be by to talk about some mental issues. Mike Toomey will be by, like I said. It should be a good show, despite everything that's going on.
This does sound like they're discussing me, doesn't it? They're hitting all of my mental illness and venereal disease.
We have a chart. It's a picture of you, different bullet points. It's a coincidence. It's a total coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah, but it should be
not
fun.
Offended. All right, have a good show.
All right, thanks, everybody.